Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Monday, October 29th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, officials released the names of all 11 victims during a news conference Sunday of those killed in a Pittsburgh synagogue shooting. The victims range in age from 54 to 97 years old, which included a pair of brothers and a husband and wife. The suspect in the mass shooting expressed hatred of Jews during the rampage and told officers afterwards that the Jews were committing genocide and that he wanted them all to die, according to charging documents made public Sunday. 46-year-old Robert Gregory Bauer killed 8 men and 3 women inside the Tree of Life Synagogue on Saturday during worship services before a tactical police team tracked him down and shot him, authorities said in state and federal affidavits. "I just want to kill Jews," Bowers told an officer, according to one of the documents. Calls began coming in to 911 from the synagogue just before 10 a.m. on Saturday. Bowers shot one of the first two officers to respond in the hand, and the other was wounded by shrapnel and broken glass. A tactical team found Bowers on the third floor, where he shot two officers multiple times. Bowers used an AR-15 rifle and 3 handguns in the attack. Pope Francis led prayers for Pittsburgh on Sunday in St. Peter's Square, and President Donald Trump ordered flags at federal buildings throughout the U.S. to be flown at half-staff in respect of the victims. He called the shooting evil and plans to travel to Pittsburgh. An Indonesian aircraft with 189 people on board crashed into the sea and sank on Monday soon after taking off from the capital, Jakarta, on a domestic flight to a tin mining region, officials said. There was no signs of any survivors from Lion Air Flight JT610, an almost new Boeing 737 MAX 8, and rescue officials said later on Monday they had recovered some human remains from the crash site about 9 miles off the coast. The plane lost contact with ground officials shortly after its pilot had asked to turn back to base about 13 minutes after it took off. Indonesia is one of the world's fastest-growing aviation markets, although its safety record is patchy. If all aboard have died, the crash would be the country's second-worst air disaster since 1997, industry experts said. "We don't know yet whether there are any survivors," the search and rescue agency head told a news conference, adding that no distress signal had been received from the aircraft's emergency transmitter. At least 23 government officials, 4 employees of the state tin miner, and 3 employees of a subsidiary were on the plane. A Lion Air official said an Italian passenger and 1 Indian pilot were on board. The plane went down in waters about 98 to 115 feet deep. Items such as headphones and life vests were found along with some body parts. A chief executive of Lion Air told reporters the aircraft had a technical problem on a flight from the resort island of Bali to Jakarta, but it had been resolved according to the procedure. New Jersey health officials say the 9th child has died in a viral outbreak at a pediatric rehabilitation center. Yeah, this is.
Can you add a 4th happy story?
I know. Sorry.
Dear God.
This is all the stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
The State Department of Health on Sunday confirmed the latest death at the Wanaqua Center for Nursing and Rehabilitation in Haskell, Passaic County, bringing the total number of cases to 25. Officials say the latest death is a confirmed case of endovirus, and the child passed away at a hospital late Saturday night. A health department spokeswoman said all of the individuals already had been sick, so the diagnosis does not necessarily mean the virus is still spreading. But state officials say the outbreak won't be declared over until the facility can go 4 weeks without any new cases of people being infected.
Kathy, how old are these kids that are dying?
They're young. They're young.
Like babies?
Not babies. Like, okay. You know, they're living in this facility, so I don't know the ages of them, but they are young. They're children.
Wow.
The state became aware of the outbreak back on October 9th and has been working with the CDC. Endovirus usually causes mild illnesses, but the health department says this outbreak is particularly severe because it is affecting children with severely compromised immune systems. All right, in sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Philadelphia Eagles beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 24-18 at Wembley Stadium yesterday.
And Kathy, they paid all their bar tabs, too.
Yeah. There's your happy story for
there
the day.
You go.
After
right.
watching a fourth quarter lead slip away twice this season, the Eagles and Carson Wentz held on for the win. The Jaguars were held twice to a field goal in the fourth quarter and failed to convert on the fourth down with 3 minutes and 41 seconds remaining. Wentz threw for 286 yards and three touchdowns, all to different players. The Eagles, who improved to 4-4, finished with 395 yards total, their third highest total this season against the Jaguars, who entered the game with the league's second-ranked defense. The Eagles now enter their bye week and are off until November 11th when they play the Dallas Cowboys. I might need some help from our London engineers on this name.
Ben, stand by.
Ben, stand by if you know this name. Okay, also in London, Leicester City English Premier League confirmed the death of Vichai. Do you know his last name?
No.
Okay,
no
it's
idea.
The longest last name ever, and I have no idea.
He's from Thailand. It's not a British name.
It's not a British name. I just didn't know since he was here. Maybe you knew what it was, but sad story. So his helicopter crashed outside of the club's stadium on Saturday, more than an hour after the club's 1-1 draw against West Ham. Vichai's helicopter took off. Sorry, my phone just went away for a second. It took off from the stadium, and I lost
it. It crashed right outside the stadium. It wasn't far off at all. We've been watching it on the BBC. It's a tragedy. It's just... They don't know exactly what happened yet. At first, they didn't know who all was in there, but from what I read, five people may have been on board. The owner of the team, of the Leicester City team, died in the crash, and it's just...
You can see the stadium. There are flowers
They're filling it up
all over the place.
Yep.
He was 60 years old, and he used the helicopter on match days to travel between the stadium and London.
And he clearly beloved.
Yeah.
The club announced yesterday he was indeed on board and did not survive the collision along with four others. The Sixers, who beat the Charlotte Hornets on Saturday night, are home again tonight with a game against the Atlanta Hawks, and tip-off is at 7 o'clock. The Flyers, who have lost three games in a row, are off until tomorrow night when they travel to Anaheim to play the Ducks as part of a four-game road trip through California and Arizona, and the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
And that is what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Welcome, folks. We are here live in London, second day broadcasting. The first day, we were on a boat. The second day, we're underneath a gigantic disco ball.
Yeah, if that sucker comes down.
That is the biggest disco ball I've ever seen in my life. And you know what's funny is our room is directly above said giant disco ball. And the very large speaker surrounding it, which thumped loudly on Saturday night because they had their Halloween party here.
Right,
They felt it as well with some people concurring. Fortunately, the wonderful people here at the W Hotel were accommodating. They moved us to a different room for the night.
How cool was that? Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Because honestly, Preston, you might as well have had your bed on the dance floor. You're right underneath.
Literally underneath it. But the hospitality of the W, I kid you not.
Phenomenal.
So accommodating. We've been having a great time here. So, and I will probably say this several times through the course of the broadcast. So we got here on Friday, went immediately to the broadcast site, did our show, and then we got to finally get a chance to experience London for the weekend. I'm falling in love with this city.
Isn't it great?
It's just phenomenal. It is so much fun. And
the biggest surprise.
So much to do.
We were all knighted.
Yes.
At least that's what the guy in the van said.
It only cost
£100 each.
Yeah.
And we're now all officially.
Well, and we don't have to pay taxes in London anymore.
No.
Somehow
amazing.
I ended up a dame. I don't know what I did.
Yeah.
No, you arrived a dame.
Okay.
Well, maybe we should just move here and we could do our show starting at 10 a.m. every day.
I'm liking this
more.
Your logic is really starting to make sense, Casey.
I didn't even set an alarm last night.
I know.
Do you know what, though? It wouldn't work for me because before, I always feed the chickens in the morning.
Oh man.
Yeah. It throws off my whole schedule. In fact, the W has provided me chickens in my room just to make me feel at home.
Well, where we are, where the W Hotel is, we're in Piccadilly Circus. We're basically Times Square of Manhattan here in London. And so we're in the middle of everything. There are just gigantic, to use Marissa's term, globs of people all over the place.
Globs is a technical term.
It is.
You're talking about a collection of people.
Mm-hmm. All sorts of street performers, people get out there just, trying to make a living, trying to make a buck. In fact, I saw a guy last night who...
With a cone?
With a cone.
Yes!
Oh, my God, I saw that guy!
He's right outside the window. A street cone.
Yes.
Not a lot of skill.
And he sits on the ground and goes, woo!
That's his act?
Yes! Yes!
He turned the cone into a megaphone, Steve. Yeah.
I'm like, that's worth 50 pence right there.
Well, but if you
did you pay him?
No.
No, he didn't have any money in front of him. I actually felt bad because people were like laughing as they walked by.
Did he have a container in front of him?
Yes. No one was leaving money for him.
He's collecting money. And I told the guys at the front of the W, I'm like, there's a guy with this cone. And immediately the guy's working out and they were like, oh, that guy. Oh, my God. And he's for hours, Steve.
That's Cone Man.
Woo!
Cone Man O'Brien.
Yeah,
that's Cone Man O'Brien. He's quite a celebrity.
There's another girl right in the square.
Have you met Hazard Light Harriet?
She dances, but like think of like you guys trying to like do a real dance.
Yes,
like,
right in front of Smash Burger, there is a guy who's just wonderful. It's either a dance or he's having an aneurysm, but whatever it is, and he's cleaning up. I was impressed by the floating Yoda. Did you see that?
Yes. I did see floating Yoda. Yes, yeah. I did. But I also, it was a shame because I saw floating Yoda as he was getting down and it ruined everything.
You know what? You're out in the middle of the street.
I've already seen the videos on how they do that. It's an illusion.
What is
it? Looks like
a pole
floating
up his ass.
Yeah. No, it's a pole that comes up and it actually goes through his sleeve.
Yes.
And goes into his garment and he stands on it. But it looks like he's flying in the air. It's really cool.
Yeah. It is impressive.
There's like a brace that's attached to it, right?
I'll have to show you.
Well, there's nothing on the grill.
No, Kathy, what they do is he actually has, surgeons have fused a clamp to his spine. And so what he has to do is he has to have two people pry apart the flesh on his back. He hooks it up, and then he makes about $30.
Well, that's worth 50 pence.
Yeah, and then the other guy I saw last night, he was just lip syncing. That's all he was doing. He was lip syncing Whitney Houston.
Well, he might as well be Whitney Houston compared to Cone Guy.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Wait, real quick, the last one. The guy who looks like the wind is blowing.
Yeah, that was cool.
He was my favorite.
That
I tell you what, though, the collection of street performers here is you have a very good wide variety.
It's like Times Square.
If you're to go down to Times Square, you'd see a lot more beat up, ratty costumes.
Well, no, we saw that. Did you see the Elmo?
Elmo.
Oh,
Elmo.
My God.
Oh, you kidding?
Yeah, but Elmo put on a good dance.
But Elmo doesn't. He's got human hands.
Yeah.
Like, he stopped the hand.
Preston, I walk by Elmo 3 or 4 times. Every time I walk past him, he didn't even have the freaking mask on.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, come on, Elmo.
Put your mask on.
Put the head on.
Elmo asked me for a cigarette last night.
I am Elmo. Please help me.
Oh, my God. All right, so anyhow, so many great things to talk about.
So that's what we did in London.
We had the whole weekend to take it in, and there's real culture here. I don't know if you saw that. Besides Cone Guy, no, it's amazing. The history here is amazing. We have encountered nothing but polite people, so I've been very, very happy about that as well. We have stuff to get to, so why don't we go ahead and take a break? And before we do that, though, we do have a new Word of the Week prize this week. I want to tell you about it because the name of it is The Opportunity to Live Large Like Marissa. Did you guys see
this? What the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
Live large like Marissa. So you get a hotel stay at the Westin Hotel in the city. Westin?
What?
Bill's got a place in the city? And dinner at Opa and tickets to see Storm Large's Crazy Kind of Love concert at the Philly Pops Kimmel Center Friday, November 9th. So all this stuff, we have that Letter Day Word of the Week prize coming up at the end of the program. We have a lot of people on our show today. Casey and Nick and everybody on board here has booked a number of guests to come by the show today. And I'll run down the list. I did have it here, Case. I don't know where my list of guests went, but we have a lot of people that are going to be stopping by. I'll get to it in a little bit. Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a ton of
So we are going to have some local flavor, and that's what we're trying to bring you while we're here in London.
Because why would we come here and then just give you a lot of Philadelphia stuff?
One of the local authorities on rock music here in London, his name is Paul Anthony. He's from a radio station called Planet Rock London.
Very
so
cool.
We'll see what musically they're into here.
Yeah, I was listening to him this morning.
Cool. And our friends from the band Nothing But Thieves, they've been in the studio a couple of times before.
Yes.
They're great. So Joe and Dom are coming by from the band. We also have a really cute couple. They're YouTubers, and they're called Joel and Leah, and their YouTube channel is called Being British, and they compare a lot of British culture to other cultures, including American culture, and they have some fun with it. So we're going to talk to them a little bit later on. And then we have the writers and original cast members of The Play That Goes Wrong. Casey and I went to see this play yesterday. My wife, Rochelle, went, it's hilarious.
Well, that's what everyone's saying.
Hilarious. And it was recommended by a friend, Michael Giacchino, and Doug Benson as well to go see it. So we had a great time. So Henry Shields, Henry Lewis, and Jonathan Sayer are coming by. And we have one of the One of the oldest London pubs, one of Mayfair's oldest pubs. We have the longtime manager. It's called the Punch Bowl, and Pandy Koryoshi is coming by today.
And I think the pub's been open since 1723.
Okay.
And he's business partners with Guy Ritchie.
That is correct.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
So we have a lot of local flavor that we're going to get to this morning, and we got a lot of people from Philly who are hanging out here as well. Eagles jerseys all over this city, by the way.
And past those people are confused people eating breakfast.
That's right. Yeah. They're right behind them. So we'll take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Live from London, the Preston and Steve Show on MMR. Make sure you stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so Marissa, what were you going to tell me here? What's this?
I was saying we're going to highlight some of our guests that come up, some of our British guests, because everyone back home is loving the British flair. Right. So that'll be up on the WMMR Facebook page throughout the morning.
Excellent. We'll be covering all that stuff, so make sure you have it there. All right, I'm going to do, since we're right around the corner from Soho, wonderful area in London, so I'm going to do a stupid question this morning. We're going to give away a pair of tickets for the Museum of the American Revolution.
There we go.
How about that?
Rubbing salt in the wound.
Suck it, England. October 27th.
You couldn't have picked a...
At the museum presents Hamilton Was Here, Rising Up in Revolutionary Philadelphia.
Oh, boy, that's great.
So I'm gonna do a British rock question. What song, since we're right around the corner from Soho, what song gives us the lyric, I woke up in a Soho doorway? 215-263-WMMR. Outstanding opening line from a great song. What song gives us the lyric, I woke up in a Soho doorway? 215-263-WMMR. By the way, Rodney, I don't have a phone screener up over here, if we could get that.
Do we really need that, Preston?
Well, if we want to get an answer to the question, we do. So I'll go through some birthdays while we are awaiting the calls to come in to get our answer. Today is October 29th. Birthdays today include Richard Dreyfuss, the actor. He is 71 years old today.
He's looking his age.
Yeah. Well, he's in his 70s, so, you know, that's when people definitely start to show up. But so many great movies over the years. Jaws, American Graffiti, The Goodbye Girl.
Did you ever see his, one of his first movies, The Apprenticeship of Duddy Kravitz?
No.
Yeah, he is a, he's just this wheeler dealer. It's a very funny movie that not a lot of people are aware of, but it's one of his earliest films.
Kate Jackson of Charlie's Angels.
She was the smart one, which meant the unattractive one. But I always thought she was attractive.
I thought she was attractive, yeah.
So she is 70 years old today. She was also in Scarecrow and Mrs. King.
Yes, which is Kathy's favorite show. That's your favorite show of all time, right?
What is
just say yes. Nod your head. Move on.
I was like, did I miss something?
Agree with Steve.
Is that really my favorite show? Yeah, I think it is.
I just wanted to add another credit to her name.
Sure.
So, you know, to be nice, and she was the smart one.
To be nice.
That loser. You're the smart one.
Winona Ryder had a nice resurgence with Stranger Things in the past couple of years.
I'm glad that her character, they didn't make her, you know, just a deranged lunatic. So she actually had insight into what was going on.
Yeah.
And she's proven to be a great part of the show.
But a lot of great movies over the years as well. Beetlejuice, Girl Interrupted, Reality Bites. She's 47 years old today. The lovely Gabrielle Union.
Oh, yeah.
Is 46 today.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I know.
She looks great.
She looks phenomenal. Bring It On. She's all that. Bad Boys 2.
And a recent McDonald's commercial.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
What is she pushing?
Their new line of meth. No, she's pushing the burgers. Yeah.
Okay.
She's 46. Dan Castellaneta.
Damn you, Walt Whitman!
Yes. Homer Simpson, of course. But not only Homer, he's Grandpa, he's Krusty, Barney, Groundskeeper Willie, and a bunch of others. Mayor Quimby.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that his own regular speaking voice is so removed from any. I mean, it's completely different than any of the characters he does.
So he is, how old is he today? He is 61 years old today. Steve, it's Randy Jackson's birthday.
Oh, my God!
Wow. Randy Jackson. member of the Jacksons.
Okay, so in Step Brothers, where the sword is autographed by Randy Jackson,
yes. Velociraptor.
Is it that Randy Jackson or yes. American Idol Randy Jackson?
I'm not.
It's American Idol Randy Jackson.
Yeah. Okay.
But this is Randy Jackson of the Jacksons.
Stamos.
Is not John Stamos, Randy Jackson. He's 63 today. Peter Green, former singer, guitarist, and founding member of Fleetwood Mac. Celebrating his 72nd birthday.
You don't hear about him much these days.
No, you don't. And you also don't hear from Denny Lane much as well. He is a founding member of the Moody Blues, and he was in Paul McCartney's band Wings, of
yes,
course.
Yes, yeah.
He's 74. And then a couple other quick birthdays, and we'll move on and get our answer. Ben Foster, the actor, 310 to Yuma, X-Men The Last Stand. He is 38. Did he marry somebody?
Naomi Watts, they were together. Did yeah. they end up getting married? I mean,
maybe not married.
No, I think he actually just married someone else. He's okay. also in Preston, Hell or High Water, which I keep recommending you
okay.
see. He's phenomenal.
What's that about?
It's about Chris Pine and Jeff Bridges, where they're both
they're bank heists. They rob banks to save the farm that yeah. they're from.
Stop recommending things to him.
Well, you know what? He could watch it maybe on the flight home tomorrow.
He won't.
Okay. Nah, you're probably right.
He's married to Laura Prepon.
There
we go.
All right, 38 today. And then Tracy Ellis Ross
yes.
of Black-ish. She's 46.
Diana Ross's daughter, and she just hosted the American Music Awards.
That's yeah. correct. All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to this. God only knows if this will work. We'll try it. All right, so what song gives us the lyric, I woke up in a Soho doorway? 215-263-WMMR is the number, and I'm going to click on this, and we will see if I can get somebody on the line. Hi, Ralph, can you hear me?
Hey, I'm London calling.
Yes.
Holy hell!
Ralph, do me a favor. What song has the lyric, I woke up in a Soho doorway?
Who are you?
That is correct. Who are you? Hang on just a second. We're going to get your information. That is, of course, from The Who. And you got yourself, my friend, a pair of tickets for the Museum of American Revolution. Opening October 27th, the museum presents Hamilton Was Here, Rising Up in Revolutionary Philadelphia. A limited-run interactive experience tracing Hamilton's rise in the Philadelphia region. For tickets, you can visit revmuseum.org. So congratulations to you, my friend. But that is that's a great song. So we'll play some Who this morning.
Yes.
Guarantee you.
It's all British bands, right?
And, yeah, we're going to play all British bands this morning. So real quick, I wanted to do, somebody asked me to do a shout out. I saw him in the restaurant here having breakfast. So I'm going to do an early morning shout out before I forget, because I wrote it at this part of my stuff to pass along to you. So Colleen Boyle, your brother Jeff, wanted us to send a shout out. So here's a shout out. She's a diehard fan. There's her brother Jeff right there.
I'll give her a long one.
Yeah, so
there you go.
There you go.
Colleen, that is the longest
God bless.
Chart that we have.
God bless you.
So that's for you.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do some entertainment stuff, all right? Kim Kardashian and Khloe Kardashian had fans simultaneously revved up and worried, but for very different reasons over the weekend. As far as Kim goes, she drew a chorus of cheers and boos for casting her youngest, the 9-month-old Chicago, in her latest promotional campaign for KKW Beauty. Kim poses topless with a snuggling Chicago for KKW's Flashing Lights collection.
What is this collection? Is it a perfume collection? Is it a clothing collection? Is it to like Omaha Steaks?
You like steaks? I do too. They're so yummy.
I can very well could be.
And
Kathy?
This is Chicago, not the city.
Any idea, Kathy?
I was just looking it up.
It's a KKWbeauty.com. So she captioned the shot on Instagram, writing, "My heavenly baby, showing off the new pink shadows in the Flashy Lights collection, wearing flashy and high Ooh. Key.
Do you like mommy's knockers?"
Available at kkwbeauty.com.
Okay. Well, this isn't the first time that they've had their kid, right? The Northwest was in a whole bunch of stuff as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, they have her on the runway and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, Sheboygan and Secaucus were all in a different
Many toasted the beautiful baby, but others weren't here for Kim, or they weren't happy for Kim's decision to capitalize on her baby's cuteness.
So over the BBC, I guess, one had Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Really?
And there was a segment, or one of the stations, and it was Khloe talking to Rob Kardashian. And I wanted to jump through the set and beat them both to death with a shovel.
Yeah,
it was just unbelievable. I mean, but the thing is that while they're talking, the mix between their volume and the music behind was
So that's how they keep all this stuff driving forward.
Oh, yeah.
With the illusion of forward momentum.
Absolutely.
It's constantly underscored with his music.
Yeah.
Because what they're saying is so resolutely boring.
Yes.
That you want to kill yourself.
It fills in the gaps.
Horrible.
If they didn't have the music underneath.
Just horrible.
You would absolutely fall asleep. But I don't watch it anyway.
Yes.
So
I do, especially when I'm in London.
But listen, have I got a show for you to watch while you're in London?
Well, I know. We're going to talk about it.
Okay.
Yes, yeah.
Chloe, meanwhile. Let's go to Chloe for a moment.
Yes.
She informed her followers that she is not the woman she was 5 months ago.
I'm not the woman I was 5 months ago.
Many
things have changed.
Many assume the 34-year-old is referencing...
My man in the boat just joined the Navy.
Oh my God. The 34-year-old is referencing her situation with boyfriend Tristan.
So they're splitting?
Who got caught in a cheating scandal right before the baby True was born, of course. She said, I'm thankful for every moment I have. Steve, they're still being mum about it.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for every moment I have. I didn't used to be present enough.
Yeah, you know. It reads so horribly, doesn't it?
I didn't used to be present enough to truly reflect on the beauty of it all. The highs, lows. I was simply going through the motions of life.
When she thought ultimate faithful husband. The NBA.
NBA. She's like, yes. All right, so.
That's where you're going to get.
Perfect.
They're like pigeons.
Hundreds of suitors
made
in that league.
For life.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. So you have this dilemma. The thing is, looking at her now, Kathy, she is surgically making herself. It's like a Stepford Wives thing. She is becoming her sisters.
Yeah.
And I liked her the most of the lot because she was different.
Again, she is, you know, of the sisters, she was working with the least, you know, so, and that's a shame.
Yeah, but she's actually very pretty.
She's not looking,
and she's looking like the rest of them.
I would defy you to hold that family up to any family photos from 10 years ago and be able to pick out who's who.
All right, so she goes on to say, I'm thankful that I'm in a place where I truly appreciate every experience, good, bad, or indifferent. Be patient, tough, and have faith.
Well, this is very inspiring. Slow down. I'm writing this down.
Someday your pain and struggles will be useful to you, she tweeted. Don't be afraid to fall apart or fail, because one day the situation will open an opportunity for you to grow and rebuild yourself into the brilliant person that you are capable of being. She said, allow yourself to listen to friends and family. Hear them when they try to help you. As long as we live, there will be something more to learn. And as long as we follow our hearts and never stop evolving, we shall never turn older. But newer and more compassionate every day.
You know,
as her first
husband said, who OD'd on 9 different types of horny goat weed at a whorehouse. March forth into the light.
Oh, my God.
You understand why her medicine to take advice.
She's rumored to be unsure whether that she should move her life to Cleveland when she and Cavaliers
Cleveland, that's where it is.
Tristan are on such shaky grounds. Kris Jenner appeared on the Ellen DeGeneres Show Friday and would only state that she might move to Cleveland.
I'll save you the trouble. Don't move to Cleveland.
Yeah. She had she keeps fans guessing. On Saturday, she shared a photo on Instagram of a giant silver balloon from Tristan that read, Welcome home, location Cleveland. So... Uh-huh. I don't know, man. Oh, and this just in. Honey Boo Boo was eliminated for Dancing with the Stars Juniors.
Oh, she was
Juniors.
Oh.
That's all I'm saying about that.
That's right. There's a junior competition. I forget about that.
I didn't know.
On ABC?
Yeah.
I believe so. Yeah, they own that. So the annual Casamigos Halloween party brought out the stars and the drama this year as ever. Of course,
Casamigos is Clooney's brand.
Hosted by George Clooney and Randy Gerber, Cindy Crawford's husband, on Friday night. So it was a two-night deal. All right. So on Friday, the event hosted by fellow co-founder Mike Meldman's home in L.A., Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star Brandi Glanville attacked actor Kobe DJ K-Love Randolph.
Oh, my God.
Randolph told the outlet that Glanville
major news.
Hit the bash with his ex-girlfriend, and then the pair hit him. Glanville denied the report on Twitter, claiming that she never hit anyone, and furthermore, didn't see a fight at all. She adds that she doesn't know DJ K-Love. End of story.
So they're throwing this for this boost, but they sold the brand, right?
I think he still has a vested interest in it.
Does he have an interest? Okay.
He sold, but they still have his name attached to it. And speaking of Clooney, have you guys seen that Nespresso commercial?
Yes. It's terrible.
Oh, my God. It's so weird and awful. And he dresses up like a...
It's a knight.
Right. Yeah, but like a Roman centurion.
Right. Does he end... All right, so does he own any of that?
No, I think he's just an endorser for Nespresso.
Okay, so he just sold this thing for $1 billion, the tequila company.
Right, with Randy Gerber.
Why are you even doing this Nespresso
thing? Well, he might have.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to see if he does have an interest in this company.
Well, then some people still want to make money.
No, and he does commercials for an auto detailing place in Conshohocken.
Really?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I haven't seen that one.
And no, I understand that. You want to make money, and that's great. But to do this type of commercial seemed a little bit beneath
him.
Well,
he's in it with the Game of Thrones, our fave, Preston.
Natalie Dormer.
Yeah, she's playing the queen.
In this commercial?
In this commercial.
Yeah.
Oh.
But Clooney basically comes out of the screen, like he works his way out, and then he's trying to find a decent cup of coffee, and that's what the whole point of the commercial is. But it's just, it's odd. It's the production value on it's pretty crappy.
Okay.
It's a cheesy, not good commercial.
All right, I have to
And
see
there
that.
Was one, they was followed by a commercial with Daniel Day-Lewis where he showed how he could spray a screen door with a sealant and make it the bottom of a canoe.
Wow.
Woo, doggy!
Oh, dear God.
That's Daniel Day-Lewis.
It remains completely buoyant.
I did not know that. On Saturday, Clooney and Gerber dressed as pilots on a private flight from L.A. to Vegas where they threw an epic bash. Crawford dressed as a flight attendant.
Yes.
And Clooney said from the cockpit on the Casamigos plane traveling to L.A. from Vegas, the good news is Cindy Crawford is going to be your flight attendant. The bad news is, well, we've never flown before. And in a video of the flight, Gerber is shown in the cockpit giving the thumbs up while Clooney holds a half-empty bottle of tequila and proclaims this helps.
When you're at that level of wealth... You can't just simply say, hey, we'll get some pizza. Come on over. You know, every party has to be pretty inordinately large, right?
So when they touched down in Vegas, the crew hit the catch at Aria Resort and Casino. Kendall Jenner, Joey Fatone, Jermaine Dupri, Wolfgang Puck, Carolina Kurkova.
Oh, my God. Joey Fatone is here.
Marlon Wayans and DJ Steve Aoki were all in attendance. So. There were some people there.
Do you guys hear about the Shamoween party this weekend? Was that
did not.
Any
stories
about
that?
They raised a lot of money. They raised, I think, $85,000.
Okay.
Without you helping the bidding, Kathy?
I know. Matt Cord did it.
Oh, okay, he did?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So 6 months after announcing their split, Jenna Dewan and Channing Tatum are making it official. Dewan filed for divorce Friday from Tatum, citing irreconcilable differences, according to court documents obtained by The Blast. Dewan's lawyer, Samantha Spector, filed paperwork requesting joint legal and physical custody of their 5-year-old daughter, Everly.
Yeah.
She also requested to have her name legally restored to Jenna Dewan instead of Jenna Dewan Tatum. Tatum filed a response also requesting joint custody. And both have apparently re-entered into the dating pool.
No, she's going to have a really tough time.
And so is he. So Channing is already dating singer Jessie J. She's hot.
Yeah, of course.
She's real hot. The 37-year-old Dewan is also reportedly dating, but the object of her affection remains mysterious. The latest had Dewan getting cozy with a mystery man at the Casamigos Halloween party. Uh-oh. And
could have been Joey Fatone.
E! News reports that she was dressed as a fairy and couldn't keep her hands off of the new man.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the case.
A source said they definitely seemed like they were dating and left the party holding hands. They were kissing in the courtyard before they exited.
This upsets me because I thought they were a good couple. Yeah. I don't know why I care so much, but that's who I am.
Just
like Khloe Kardashian said.
You want love to win.
I want love to win.
Well, also, they sort of got together before his meteoric rise into fame, right? So you thought, all right, she kept him grounded.
Yes, and then this is it. Love born of the ages, right. Blah, blah, and it all ends in flames.
And by the way, right around the corner here is a Magic Mike dance review, and it has Channing Tatum's name attached to it. Did you see that?
He's one of the producers. Yeah.
There's a countdown clock that's
it's not
like 12
yet.
Days or something like that. Yeah, so it hasn't happened yet. All right, so how about this, Steve? You want love to win. Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck are still pals despite formalizing their divorce earlier this month. They were photographed sitting close-ish together.
Close-ish.
In the same suite at Game 4 of the World Series.
There we go.
Los Angeles Dodger Stadium on Saturday.
Any word about the new Batman movie?
There's no word on the new Batman movie. I am sorry about that, Steve.
It's a big concern of mine.
Oh, by the way, I totally forgot to include in sports that Boston Red Sox won the World Series.
I thought something was missing from sports.
I've
World Series.
Yeah, I've disconnected on some levels. Go Sox. You guys won.
The Red Sox.
Congratulations. Yay. Yay for the Boston Red Sox.
I really don't hate the city of Boston, but they really need to go and be in the gutters for a little while. they have had too much for too long, and like you really need to have a terrible team in every single sport for a long time.
They had a long time.
Yeah, and now they've had their full. Okay. And they can go back to your room, kids.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I understand what you're saying, but they won. So
way to go.
Demi Moore has come a long way since launching in the stardom in 1985 with St. Elmo's Fire when she was honored as Woman of the Year by L.A.-based sober living program Peggy Albright Friendly House. She explained, "I was spiraling down a path of real self-destruction, and no matter what success I had, I just never felt good enough."
Wasn't she doing Whippets?
She said, "I had absolutely no value for myself, and this self-destructive path, it really quickly brought me to a real crisis point. It wasn't clear at the time. Maybe it was divine intervention, but two people who I barely knew stepped up and took a stand for me and presented me with an opportunity, which I guess was more like an ultimatum. Unless I was dead, I'd better show up." So she's doing a lot better.
Well, yeah, she came out on that Bruce Willis roast.
Yeah.
She looked pretty good.
Whippets, that's a weird thing to get addicted to because the high is so short.
Yeah.
It's like 15 seconds.
I think mainly she was boozing.
Yeah.
She was liquor was her thing.
Booze and Whippets.
But if you remember Steve-O, if you remember that documentary that he basically shot it himself. He just sat there with these Whippet crackers over and over and over and over again.
You get addicted to them?
Everything tastes great on a Whippets cracker, yeah. Preston. Yeah.
No, but I don't understand. It's real quick. But I would imagine a guy like that would be able to get hold of a tank somewhere and just sit there and strap on the nose thing and breathe.
Yeah. At least in the documentary, he didn't. He just had the crackers and, suck it, and then he would get rid of the canister and then on to the next one. It was weird.
So Demi is doing better. Iman.
Yes.
The actress and model has told Portrait Edit that she will never, ever marry again after losing her husband of 24 years, David Bowie.
I can see that.
She said, "I will never remarry. I mentioned my husband the other day with someone, and they said to me, 'You mean your late husband?' And I said, 'No, he is always going to be my husband.'"
Who corrects someone like that? Wait a second. Isn't your husband dead?
Right, exactly.
You said it as if he's currently alive, and we know that he died.
Right.
So maybe you want to correct yourself.
Bowie died in 2006.
It's just a horrible... People can be so...
I'm sorry. You mean your dead husband?
Your dead husband. Yeah. Right. Is it the same David Bowie?
Yeah, so she's she says she'll never...
However she wants to refer to him is her right.
Mary, again, I agree with you on that. So Wyclef Jean is going to get a biopic treatment, but it's going to be in animated form. Netflix is making...
Like South Park animation?
A CG animated feature film inspired by the childhood of Haitian singer and Fugees co-founder Wyclef Jean.
Wow.
Greg Silverman is partnering with the Grammy Award winner on the film. He said, "I grew up in extreme poverty, but I was rich with imagination. And now to see that imagination turn into reality with Netflix and my producing partners makes me want to tell the kids from the slums around the world to never stop dreaming."
Casey and I interviewed him once.
Did you?
We went up to New York for this thing that they used to host called Amsterdam and got to meet a whole bunch of eclectic artists, including Wyclef. He couldn't have been a nicer guy. It was a fun interview.
Cool. So let's see here. The CW's reboot of Charmed has added a villain, and it will be the actor will be Konstantin Rozulli.
Not familiar.
And will be playing a villain by the name of Hunter, who is opposed to the Vera Vaughn sisters' brand of good magic. And he will pop up in the season's fifth episode, which is going to air sometime in November. Charmed is getting solid ratings. What are you doing?
I don't know. I have no clue.
But it worked. Somehow it worked. It actually transported me right to the world of Charmed.
I just heard some music. I didn't know what it was.
I was
oh my God, I'm in Charmed.
I was just getting ready for your next thing, Preston, and for
better
some,
to preview
yes,
it now.
Yes, okay. So that's just a tease.
Yes, right,
so for everybody.
Stay tuned.
We'll have an explanation for that sound in nary second.
Don't get out.
Somebody
of
was just about to get out of their car, and they go, "Oh, no. Well, what's that all
Hang
about?
On.
Hang on a second.
What's coming up?
I know I'm late for work, but
well done.
Yes.
Charmed is getting solid ratings so far, averaging 0.9 to 2.5 million viewers among adults 18-49 after 3 days of delayed viewing.
I want to start watching the Sabrina series on Netflix.
Yes.
They're supposedly doing very well.
The dark comedy King of the Jungle, based on Joshua David's Wired article called John McAfee's Last Stand, has landed Michael Keaton and Seth Rogen as the lead. So two good names right there.
Yeah, yeah.
So the story follows McAfee, who's going to be played by Keaton, McAfee's life as an expat in Belize, and Rogen will play Ari Furman, another Wired writer who gets pulled into McAfee's insane universe. Any idea of that story? I've never heard.
No, no.
I'm not really sure.
I mean, I'm familiar with the title and the project, but nothing further. Yeah.
So Michael Keaton and Seth Rogen will be on that, which is cool. And one last little tidbit here. Matteo Garrone's live-action Pinocchio.
Wait a second.
What?
Where's the sound case?
Oh, I thought there was...
Oh, okay.
I was...
All right.
Well, now, hang on, guys, because it's coming.
All right.
Really? It's not for this one. It's the next. Are you doing clips this morning?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. We're good. I'm sorry.
So Matteo Garrone.
I'm sorry for you lying just a few minutes ago.
Live action Pinocchio has recruited Roberto Benigni. To star as Geppetto.
Didn't they do this already with Benigni? Wasn't there a live action?
They
Pinocchio?
Did. Yes. And didn't he?
And it bombed.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to do another one.
They were so encouraged by the initial bombing that they figured they'd do it again.
So the film is an international co-production, so I don't know anything other
Haven't
than
Haven't we
that.
Gone to that Pinocchio well enough?
I think so.
Yeah.
All right. Now I'm ready for the clip, so let's do it.
There we go.
All right. Each week, Freddie Highmore brings his character, a brilliant surgeon with autism, to life on the small screen. And here the star of The Good Doctor talks about the challenges that come with this role. Jason, please. Maybe not.
Please?
Jason? Oh. Jesus Christ.
Well, Preston, what are the last like 6 or 7 words that he says in this clip?
Okay, make sure that you don't misspeak.
Wow.
What do you want me to do?
You said it all, bro.
A new episode of The Good Doctor tonight at 10 on ABC. I'm glad we have a respected radio personality who's going to be on the air with us here in a little bit to witness this wonderful display of...
Well, here we are.
Broadcast history.
Broadcasting in London, and it's our equipment back in Philadelphia that craps out on us.
Good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. All right, so the next clip I have for you, and Jason, you're going to be able to get this one or not?
I'd say no.
Okay.
So why don't you read a transcript? Do you have it there?
Yeah, no.
Just the out.
I just have the out cue.
Yeah, the out cue.
All right, so here's the setup. The CW's Arrow has been the launching point for an entire television universe. Here's show star Stephen Amell. Talks about being at the center of this interconnected world. And then the out cue is lent a hand to other shows.
Yeah, awesome. Uh-huh. I'm a big fan.
Arrow has a new episode out.
You should have said spoiler alert before that question.
Arrow has a new episode out tonight at 8. That is on the CW.
Our next guest just walked out. He just
left.
He just left.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in our entertainment report this morning. We do have a lot of things that we're going to do through the course of this second day broadcasting live from London. A number of guests are going to be stopping by. And, yes, we have a gentleman from Planet Rock London.
Yes.
Who Casey was telling me is the MMR of London. It's the longtime rock authority here.
Yep.
Rock eyes of everyone, as Jose would say. You're absolutely correct. So we're going to talk to him as well as many other people that have stopped by through the course of the morning. So I want to go ahead and take a break. Come back in just a moment. We continue our live broadcast from London on 93.3 WMMR. We'll be right back.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live. When you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
I'm going to back up just a moment and mention the song we just played. We have band members here. We're going to meet them second to our next guest, but I do want to mention Nothing But Thieves and Wake Up Call. We just played that. Members of the band here to join us in London. They've been in our studio before. We'll introduce them in a moment, but first we want to meet this guy because he's a new friend. And a national radio show here in England. It is called Planet Rock, and he's come by for a visit. He's been at it for a while. I think his 7th year coming up with the Planet Rock Breakfast Show. So always wonderful to meet a comrade in arms in the world of radio, especially around the world. This is Paul Anthony, who we want to welcome.
Hey, there you go.
Nice to see you, Paul. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's past my bedtime, actually. I've done my bit already.
You have?
Yes. Yeah.
You're pulling a double today.
Yeah, what?
Wow.
You work Monday through Friday and Saturday as well, correct? You
do a special Saturday show on Saturday? Saturday is more of a Planet Rock years. It's a look back at 2 featured years. But yeah, I get a lay-in on a Saturday, which is good.
Yeah, okay, very cool.
And Planet Rock is a harder edge station than you're going to find of others in the country, correct?
We're the only national rock station, so we broadcast nationwide on DAB, so obviously digital audio broadcasting here in the UK, which is getting bigger and bigger all the time. Planet Rock's been in existence virtually 20 years now. So, you know, for a while it wasn't like the States, whereby you guys had lots of rock stations.
Yeah.
We didn't. We had sort of independent stations, And on a pop station, when I started, what, 34 years ago, it was you got a three-hour shift on a pop station when they didn't have an audience. So you had regional stations doing rock shows and one national pop station that had a Friday rock show, which was a two-hour show. That was it. That was the outlet for rock.
They would shoehorn in rock features into other formats.
Yeah.
Okay, and now, but this is straight up a rock format. And it's very similar, as I was looking to a lot of what you play, it is MMR. It's a lot of what we do and what we would call, we're an active rock station, yep. Which means we play new and old, and I don't know how you refer to that here.
Yeah, we do pretty much the same. I mean, we played initially, I think, with previous owners, we played purely classic rock. So it was Led Zeppelin, it was Deep Purple, it was all the old favorites, which is great. But unless you play some of the newer rock, like we say, where are the classic rock bands of tomorrow coming from? You've got to give them a chance. You know, you've got to introduce the headliners of tomorrow. Because without these guys, I mean, let's be fair, a lot of these older boys now, you know, they're popping off, they're retiring, they can't do it anymore.
Right.
So you've got to give an outlet for some of the newer stuff as well.
Yeah. What do you think about Greta Van Fleet bringing back that Led Zeppelin sound?
Wow. Well, in the UK, in literally a matter of a week's time, bear in mind, the first album isn't out yet. They've sold three nights of the Forum already.
Does that blow your mind? They had not even had... So we were watching this, and they came out of nowhere. And then you would have thought they had been around for decades. They were the fervor over this band. And we say, it's not, you know, they're not ripping off the sound. Their sound happens to be an homage, or at least in the vein of, but it's clear they can write music, and they're good performers. But it's just an amazing thing to see that before one album, full album, is released.
The weird thing as well is everybody's getting behind Greta Van Fleet, and there's always this Led Zeppelin connection, and yet... You may remember a few years ago, Kingdom Come, for example.
I remember Kingdom Come, absolutely.
Kingdom Come was slated for sounding like Led Zeppelin, whereas this time around, it's completely done full circle.
Yeah, there was a time, and Great White had a little bit of a Led Zeppelin sound to them. They went a different direction. They were a little more poppy with their rock. But I remember when Kingdom Come came out, and you guys I don't think you remember Kingdom Come, but when I was in a band at the time, that came out, and we're like, oh my God, this is the next Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, but
it didn't last very long for those guys.
I saw a thing in the press, and it was something along the lines of, Greta Van Fleet's debut album is the best Led Zeppelin album since Kingdom Come. Which kind of
thing? Yeah.
I want to point out for you, if you can't see, but Paul is, the way he's dressed, he is London's Jackie Bam Bam.
Yes.
You
look like rock.
Well, we have our nighttime disc jockey, Jackie Bam Bam. He lives the rock lifestyle, not unlike you do. I can tell by your dress because you've got an Iron Maiden jacket on, and you definitely live the music.
You have to. I mean, you can't do a show on a rock station without knowing the stuff, being into the stuff, because you rumble straight away. I mean, we have stations that we call in the UK Bland FM, where it's just a guy sitting there playing music, being told what to say, not into the music at all. And if somebody's listening to that and all of a sudden they change format, they don't notice. It's audio wallpaper.
Yeah.
What we do, people don't just listen to everything we play. Mm-hmm. They listen and hang on your every word because you're an authority on the music.
Now, he was telling me something, Steve, when we were in the break. Paul was saying, he goes, they do have, and I thought that was opposite of this, as far as their restrictions on language and so forth. It's more restrictive than what we are.
Is that right?
We thought
you got away with murder over here.
No,
I mean, we get away with murder. We just finesse it by using double entendre and other words. In fact, in many ways, it ends up being worse than the actual words themselves, but it's what we do.
Yeah. Well, listening to the last sort of 25, 30 minutes of your show here, I'm going, we'd never get away with that.
Okay.
Seriously.
It hasn't even been that bad.
Then how can you explain the television show Naked Attraction over here if you're not allowed to get away with anything and I'm looking at foreskin hanging all over the place? Have you guys watched this TV?
You were telling me about it. Yeah.
God!
Really?
Yes, I think I've talked about it on the air. It's been around for a while.
The reason they get away with it, they have the 10 p.m. watershed.
Okay. Yes, so they call it safe harbor in the States. So, and it's the same thing. So it's a little bit more lax in what the restrictions are.
Let me describe, Kathy, so you get an idea for it. It's a dating show, okay? So one suitor, five or six potential people that you may want to have a date with. And they start off with six boxes. These people are inside these color boxes. You can't see them. And the first time they meet them, they raise the box up a butt to the belly button, and they are 100% totally uncensored, full on naked. and London has a lot of foreskin. I do want to tell you that.
And there's the guys, too.
Of foreskin. And the guys, too. No, but same thing with the women. They don't have foreskin. Yeah, but yeah. They're totally 100% naked. And then they have to eliminate someone. And then next, they bring it up to the neck. So you see the boobs. You see everything else, that part of the body. And then they have to eliminate. And these people don't talk at all. They don't say strictly on what they look like naked.
It's basically... like our password.
It's
the same thing.
Hilarious. What? We were cracking up.
What channel is this on?
I don't know. Do you have any idea, Paul?
Channel 4, I think.
Channel 4, yeah. BBC 4. So, and they also had a binary contestant. So that's somebody who can identify with either male or female. So their variety to choose from were people that were in the middle of transition. And Steve, you mentioned the man in the boat.
Yep.
Yeah.
There we go.
This All one right. was in the process to becoming.
He was on the wharf waiting.
Yeah, exactly. And what? It was just, we loved it. It was awesome.
What is this on? I have to check it out before I leave.
Well, let me ask you, for radio, pertaining to you, does that happen after 10 o'clock? Are the rules restricted? Or is it, you know, because
it's
ultimately.
It's still frowned upon. I mean, we're governed by Ofcom, who basically, I mean, in recent years, it's changed. I mean, when I started out, I could still play certain songs with swears in that nobody really actually gave a damn about.
Yeah.
Whereas now, even the classic songs like a Black Sabbath, it's all reversed.
Oh, okay.
No, kidding.
We have a few of those. Yeah.
So a lot of those songs, when it's not even really a heavy swear, as we would say, the governing body actually has a list of strong swears right the way down.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is if a radio station, somebody, you know, has one complaint against them, the radio station's fined. If they have a number of complaints against them, then they can revoke the license.
The license. Wow. So it's basically the same process. In the States, believe it or not, George Carlin's original, the comedian, George Carlin's list of seven words you can't say on TV is basically what the FCC adopted as the list of words we can't say. And it's kind of stayed that way for a while.
Paul, being the national rock station, you get to meet a lot of the biggies as far as rock stars and so forth.
Yeah. I mean, you know... goes without saying that obviously what we do, there's very few people actually doing it. So if they want to get out there to a bigger crowd, then they're going to come to us. Plus, of course, we get involved in a lot of the big gigs as well. We promote our own gigs. So, you know, it's like in rock, everybody helps each other. We get out there and promote the bands and they in turn promote us. So
right.
It's a two-way street.
So there are a number of artists that still live here, but a lot of the artists have moved to the States as well. And so who locally do you see a lot coming into the station? Or do you have relationships with of the more legendary classic status?
Yeah, I mean, we had Brian May from Queen about a week ago.
Oh, man.
Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin. You know, just the local boys.
You know, we called those people.
Well, we had Brian May.
They didn't want to come by the W Hotel today.
They didn't want to come by today. We had Brian May. Yeah,
we had Brian May in the studio. He was a sweetheart. He's super
brilliant.
Nice.
He's absolutely brilliant. And again, he loves it. He lives it.
Did you see the new Queen movie?
I did, yeah.
And Preston loved it. What did you think of it?
I thought it was great. There was a few chronological issues.
Absolutely, yeah.
And there was a few, I mean, you guys will notice with all the equipment here, there was a few sort of equipment issues going on whereby it was supposed to be in a particular year and that kind of equipment wasn't around.
Right, yeah.
In terms of what it's all about, I mean, I thought it was great. I thought it was really, really good because it kind of gets so many different emotions going on there from obviously the early days of the band through Freddie's illness. Ultimately, the whole bit I thought was great. I thought it was done really, really tastefully.
Yeah, I saw the same thing I'm like, okay, this press conference wouldn't have happened at that time and they wouldn't be talking about this and that. But in a biopic, you have to kind of let some of that stuff go because you're talking about, you know, years and years and years of a story and they got to shortcut it. But eventually, when it got to the Live Aid performance, I bought it 100%. They looked like it was Queen on
Absolutely. Stage
at the concert. It was amazing.
Looking at the station's website, you have, I guess you have a syndicated show with Alice Cooper that airs as well. And you have, is Joe Elliott occasionally
on? Joe does a show every Saturday, yeah. He's been doing, I think he's done about 300-400 shows for us now. He does one every Saturday, so.
Does he do it from his home or does he come into the studios?
He does it from his home or wherever he is on tour, he'll record the show for us. He's a huge, huge fan of what we do. And what he gets to do as well is he's got just a vast record collection. So he's not being told what to play, like most of us aren't, but he's actually literally taking stuff from his own record collection. He's got so many rarities in his record collection.
Oh, that's cool.
And he's got the stories to go with it as well, because he's been there, done it, and got all the T-shirts. So.
Well, over the years, we've had a lot of great people in our studios, and several times they come in to perform. These gentlemen that are sitting next to you have done it a couple of times, and we love them. So Casey made some calls and made sure that we had a visit by some members of the band Nothing But Thieves. We'd like to welcome Joe and Dom here this morning.
Hello.
Gentlemen, good to see you again.
Good to see you again.
It's strange not to see you in our studio.
I know. And you've landed on your feet in one of the nicest hotels in London.
Yes.
How about that?
Under the biggest disco ball in the world.
I know.
Yeah.
Be careful.
I know. My room is literally above that disco ball.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's wonderful.
It makes you think of what the Jolly Green Giant urologist has to see all the time.
Yes.
We're still discussing our production for our shows at the end of the year, and I think I've just
you're
had
go with this ball.
Yeah. I don't think it's lavish enough.
This is it's the biggest I've ever seen.
Wow. Yeah. Dom, where are you guys? Where do you reside? Do you live in London?
Yeah, we literally live like 30 minutes away in like East London.
Okay.
We've got a nice little house together.
And what's the status of the band right now? Just are you?
Well, basically, we just got back from your beautiful, unnecessarily big country touring that.
Yes.
And we decided that we were going to take a few weeks off before we go to Europe, which is tomorrow.
Okay.
And
were you going to Spain first?
You were going to Spain first.
Yeah.
It's just us two today because Connor's in Thailand with elephants and doing yoga and stuff. So we thought we'd come and see you.
Can elephants actually do yoga? I had no idea.
They can. Yeah, they're very flexible. You should see what they do with the trunk.
Yeah.
Very, very namaste.
It's very nice.
Who's he out there with?
He's gone with his lovely girlfriend, actually. Yeah, it's nice. You know, we rarely get time off, so we've kind of all just, you know, done our thing, seen family. And
let me ask you, because in the States, obviously, the British rock star, you know, that's just, yeah, everybody's, wow, you know, it's a big thing. Are you just part of the furniture here in London, or is it, you know, do you feel lost in the sauce?
We're the disco ball.
You're the disco ball.
Yeah.
You're that big. That big and glittery.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's
you're
cool.
Part of the furniture, but you do stand out a little bit, is
exactly
what you're saying. Okay.
Well, we do all right, don't we?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a context thing. If you're by yourself, no one really cares, no one recognizes you. But if you're walking around as a band wearing your whole stage outfit, sometimes we carry our instruments to get recognized. I'll be walking around Oxford Street with a guitar.
And when you're
praying that someone gives me recognition.
And you're nothing
and even
but
then
these
it doesn't
t-shirts,
work.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. You talk about, you know, you take big entertainment cities like New York or Los Angeles or something like that.
Yeah.
There's a music scene in each one of those. There's a music scene in every major city.
Yes.
Once you are, and I'm sure you guys were part of the London music scene, then you get a record contract, then you start to go, you tour, you get out of it. Are you still a part of the London music scene per se?
Well, we're from Essex.
Okay.
So we had the Southend music scene.
Okay.
And there's an amazing venue called Chinnery's there, and like rehearsal spaces, and a load of bands come through there. There's a band called The Horrors, if you know them, they're from Southend.
We just kind of like try, as soon as we could play gigs we would, and as soon as you made it to London, which was only like an hour down the road, you felt sort of, you know, like you've achieved something.
Yeah.
And then outside of London, when you get to Birmingham or Manchester, that felt like another achievement. So I think for us it was just trying to get to as many places early on. And yeah, there definitely was a scene for young bands, and there still is. I think there's a lot of opportunities to be playing.
So we have the classic, the garage band is you know, where you're actually practicing in the garage of a house.
We
and
were
so
that.
Yeah, definitely.
That was you. But it's cool. So it relates in the States, from the suburbs into the city, and a lot of people want to get in there from here. How important is the jump to the United States to any band that's here in England, you know, and other bands that you've encountered? I assume it's a critical element, but how important is it, you know, out of the gate?
It's important, but it's difficult. It's so expensive for us.
Yes.
It's notoriously difficult, I think. If you look at bands like, you know, Oasis, who eventually are just like, no, this is too big.
Yeah.
It takes too long.
Yeah.
I'm staying in.
And there are bands here that, like bands like Biffy Clyro and Kasabian, that will headline some of the biggest festivals in the UK and around the rest of the world. But when they go to the US, it's not, they're not at the same level. And for us, it was always, as soon as we could, which we were given an opportunity to see, we had a record label that were helping us fund it. We were touring round in the van, and we were just trying to keep like refreshing our sort of presence there.
Yeah.
And building off going from 50 people to 80 to 200, you know what I mean? Just building it up.
Sure.
So that's like very much with Blackstone Cherry, a classic example. Over here, they're massive. I mean, they're playing arenas. They sell out arenas. They've headlined Download Second Stage twice, Ramblin' Man Fair. They played under Guns N' Roses at Download last year. massive, massive audience, and yet in the States they go back, they play to 200 or 300 people.
Yeah, I mean, we play them, and we have played them, and it didn't take the same way. In fact, I was listening to you this morning,
yeah,
and you were playing Blackstone Cherry, and I'm like, why are we not playing this song? It's a good song. And so I don't know why that is. I have a friend who is from Manchester, and she loves James, right? Yeah. The only song we play from James is Laid. I couldn't tell.
From years ago.
And she's been to a ton of James concerts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, we just know the one song, and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to ask all three of you guys, actually, favorite places to play in London and favorite places to see a show?
Both the same for me, Brixton Academy.
Yeah, I was about to say Brixton.
It's iconic.
I don't know what that means.
It's a huge... It's in South London. It's a huge theatre. It's about 5,000 people. And it was actually... When we first started the band, we were very much like DIY promo because we couldn't afford to pay anyone to do online press for us or anything right. like that. So we were going to gigs at Brixton and we were handing out flyers and handing out like self-printed CDs that were just being used as frisbees. Like right. It was so demoralizing after the show, coasters. Just seeing them scattered around the tube station. Yeah, we worked really hard. And but this was at Brixton, and about, it must have been, what, 2 years ago now, something like that. Yeah, we finally got to play and headline, and we managed to sell it out. And it was a really weird sort of moment, us, our name being on the front. It's got a big sort of like one of those sort of lit up boards, and it had our name sold out.
You both agree that's the play in 10 shows at it.
It's also got this like slope for the audience as well, so you can kind of,
if you're
like,
small,
everyone like
it's great for dwarfs.
So somebody like me would enjoy it. Okay,
but I think and Paul, going back to you know, you saw the Bohemian Rhapsody film, the moment they get the call that they're going to tour the States was a big deal. It was, oh my God, we've broken through. The world has gotten so much bigger in reach, and how you can now present your music to people via online and YouTube and so forth, that you can find these niches and find your market and cater to that. Of course, you want worldwide success.
Yeah.
You want to get as many places as possible. But America's not the only place. You can be wonderfully successful in other countries and have your base there, you know?
It was so different. I mean, getting back to the venues, I mean, just literally down the street here, the classic Marquee Club, which housed so many greats over the years. It was a small toilet, basically. It wasn't massive, but all the big bands wanted to play there and had the prestige. And when you played the Marquee, you'd made it, even though you're playing to literally a handful of people. Whether you played a special guest slot or played it, you know, playing the Marquee was special. And there wasn't the internet, like you say there. There wasn't the outlet to actually get your music out there. It was the ground up. It was starting at the small level venues. And then obviously venues got a lot more clinical in the UK over the years. So you'd have sort of theatre venues, which most bands would tour, which were seated, but you're allowed to stand. And then from the seated venues, if you played a bigger venue, you've got the old cow sheds, like one of my favourites, Bingley Hall in Stafford, right in the middle of the UK, which was probably about 5,000-6,000 people.
I love places like that.
And then it went to the arenas.
Yeah, yeah. Paul, what would you say? So give us the name of a band that you think should be huge in the United States, but is not right now.
Probably Blackstone Cherry. I mean, it's one of those bands that we supported for, I'd say, 11, 12 years since they first came over. They did it the old-fashioned way. They came over, they played to a handful of people in a very small venue, and every time they came back, it got bigger and bigger. The audience got bigger and bigger, and those guys are still exactly the same guys now as they were the first time they came over. And that's one of the main selling points, because when you meet and greet fans just because you want to, you want to be a part of it, and you still do that when you're headlining arenas and festivals, that for me is worth its weight in gold, because, you know, they're still exactly the same people. There's no starisms about them. They're just down-to-earth guys that have built it from the ground up, which is the way, really,
like
most of the
thieves.
Big bands have done.
There we go. Yeah, these guys. Down-to-earth regular guys.
One of the festivals we hear a lot about in the States is Glastonbury. You know, it's huge worldwide. Have you guys all experienced that? And if so, what's it like?
Yeah, we've played it a couple of times now. I mean, that's like a dream come true. As a kid, you know, you know what Glastonbury is, and it's sort of, it's just got a prestige about it. So when we got the email inviting us down, it was pretty,
It was an email that invited you? It wasn't a phone call?
No, it was an email. It's all done online now, mate.
There you go. Wow. You just sent a whole bunch of money to a Nigerian prince, and then you got this email.
Exactly.
Perfect.
That's something weird in the fact that like it's so huge now and has so much prestige. There's kind of more. They don't have to announce the acts. Like,
oh, wow.
They'll put the tickets on sale. They'll sell out, and then they'll announce
the event is the event.
Playing.
Yeah, no, they're a festival that is that way. Any festival, you get enough credibility, and it'll just sell regardless. Yeah. Yeah. They assume that they're going to curate some great acts, and
they always do.
Yeah,
it's quite funny. I said to a few of my mates, like when we started the band and we had a bit of success, my booking agent was like, look, if you ever need tickets for anything, just hit me up and I'll sort it out. So I said to my friends, look, if you ever need to get to a gig, you know, if you can't get tickets, let me know and I'll see what I can do. Haven't heard from any of them until it gets to Glastonbury. And they go, can I get 5 tickets for Glastonbury?
Right, yeah.
I can't even get one for myself when I'm playing.
Yeah. You never make that mistake. Yeah. Hey, anyone want tickets?
Yeah.
I can get them for you.
I've learned from my mistake. Right, and right. I'm not inviting them to anything again.
Paul, your Dom, thoughts? Do you get to starstruck seeing people at that?
Oh,
event?
Mate, that was like celeb spotting at its finest.
Who'd you see?
I got to meet Noel Gallagher briefly, and I was with one of my friends. I won't name him at the time because it was quite embarrassing what he did. I said, can you take a photo of me? And Noel, I'm a big fan. And he said, yeah, sure. And he took my phone to take the photo. First of all, he had the wrong camera on. And he had a few drinks. And I don't know if he had anything else, but his eyes were a bit wonky. Anyway, he's trying to take his photo. And the photo I actually end up with, I only got one, even though he's trying to take this photo for what felt like about 3 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Is Noel just frowning at me.
Oh, no.
And I'm just glad because he's one of the Gallaghers. If he wasn't frowning, I think something would be wrong.
Yeah, what do you want? Like two thumbs up? Like, yeah!
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Now, he was. We spent some time with Noel. He was actually a lot... We were nervous. Yeah. There's a reputation.
He's an intense dude.
Liam would be even more difficult, but Noel was. He was a super nice guy.
You know what was great is we had a Sonic session with. It was supposed to be them both, and Liam didn't show up, so Noel showed up and sang all the Liam songs.
Sang everything
better than Liam did.
He's a talented man.
He is.
He can't
do
that.
We can't do that. We were like, we were walking in, we're like, I really hope they're not expecting to perform. Really hope.
No, we've had you on twice, and I thought both times you guys sounded great, and just the way that Connor sings, you know, to be able to hit those notes at that time of the morning is real. I mean, just to hit those notes regularly.
Well, I feel sorry for him in that, like, he gets rolled out of his bunk at 8 a.m. You guys are horrible. Why are you making us do this?
Yeah.
And he rolls out. I remember once, actually, you ordered us pizza, breakfast pizza.
Yeah, yes.
Or kind of the famous
breakfast pizza, yeah.
Which, and I was like, can I get a coffee? And if you look at Exhibit A, check the size of this cup,
right.
Glass. It's beautiful, okay? It's about that big. You can drink it in about 5 minutes. What you got me was an industrial tin. Yeah. It's huge. This canister of coffee. Yeah,
that's American size.
And I didn't know. I was like, is this for everyone? Do we all get a straw and just, do we gather around it?
Yeah.
Like, everyone take a sip, pass. It
I think your coffee might be a little bit stronger than our coffee, though.
Maybe.
Well,
I know, like, when we get... This is one of the things I love about touring Europe is, like, you go to so many cool different cities and, like, this, the food is amazing. The coffee can get pretty intense. You go somewhere like Germany, it's like, you've got to be careful.
Or like a classic Greek coffee, you know, if you go down further south. But, I mean, here I don't find it to be too intense, but it's good.
We've had some great coffee.
Yeah.
We went to a couple of really nice places. In fact, I've been delighted with the food, to be honest.
Yeah.
Really?
It gets a bad rap sometimes when you hear about English delicacy. Well, nothing could be further.
What was the place we went to on Friday right after the show, Nick? You took us to a place that was awesome.
Oh, Cheshire Cheese. Yeah, Cheshire Cheese.
A pub.
One of the oldest pubs in
my local university.
Yeah,
that was great.
Like, you guys know it.
Really old place. The old
1666. There's actually been a pub on that site since the 1300s, and then the fire happened, the Great London Fire, 1666. They rebuilt, and it's been on that site ever since. And we all went and really enjoyed it. It was
Samuel Johnson. He wrote the dictionary, the first one. Apparently, he used to drink there himself.
Wow. Really?
And as we were leaving, a lot of university students were coming in. We were old dudes, so
and
we were taking off.
That's where the word alcoholic was defined.
No, but everything is Marissa size because you have to hunch over everywhere you're walking.
They were a lot smaller back then.
They were a lot smaller back then.
We went to a wine bar last night, and to get into where the seats were, you had to like bend down.
Yeah, yep. To make you work
for
it.
Yeah.
Is that Gordon?
Gordon's, yeah.
Gordon's, yeah. That's another
I'm not an alcoholic, I swear. I just made it.
Yeah, we know every place.
Yeah, and all that.
It must be weird to you to go to like the oldest building in the country and it not be like 30 years old. For you guys.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
I remember I was like, I can't remember where we were. We were touring around the South of America, and someone was like, "This is the oldest building in the town."
Yeah.
Like, how old is it? 120 years.
Yeah.
120.
Oh, no,
my nan's 120.
Yeah, my nan's 120.
There's a vast difference.
But the big question, did they do fish, chips, and mushy peas?
No, they didn't. Exactly.
I have not had the mushy peas yet.
Don't do it.
That's what I've heard. Everybody says they suck. Even
Preston.
Locals.
I remember sitting in an English pub opposite, I think it was the Kensington Garden, with Billy Sheehan. And who were they? Billy Sheehan and Eric Martin, I seem to remember. And we ordered fish, chips, and mushy peas, and they were like, "What is that?" Trying to explain and trying to get them to eat it was so difficult.
Mushy peas sounds like something you get after a stomach virus.
Right.
Yeah. I would do the mushy peas.
You would?
What I couldn't do yesterday was that dried pig's blood with black something or other.
Black pudding.
Couldn't do it. No, I couldn't do it.
I'm not really a fan.
But you like Scrapple.
I know.
Which is, that's our black pudding.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, when I found out that it was, like, dried pig's blood or something like that. Scrapple.
He prefers it in its liquid form.
Yeah. Right. Scrapple, it's just kind of, like, I don't know. I just know that it's everything, and I don't tend to think of, like, specific body parts being in there.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Have you tried haggis before?
Yes.
No, I'll do it.
It's horrible. Yeah. We actually had a haggis eating contest in our show one time. We had three dudes who had meat sweats like you would not.
Yeah, those competitive guys, eaters.
They were about to pass out.
Yeah.
I mean, socking away this haggis.
Somebody was trying to get me to eat bone marrow last night, and I just wasn't.
Was it the guy with the cone in front of the...
Did you guys see the cone guy outside?
There's a guy that sits outside with a traffic cone. You know what we're talking about?
Yeah, there's a few of them around.
What's his objective? He's
performing.
He's a performer. He's trying to get money by playing a musical instrument, which is his traffic cone.
Yeah. If you need an extra band member,
he plays the cone.
You're always looking for a unique sound in the studio.
Yeah, exactly.
You can look at it.
Album three.
Well, like Spoon Man, there was Spoon Man. This could be your guy, Cone Man.
Cone Man. Yeah,
yeah. Speaking of album three, I love album two.
Thank you.
I don't think that's the name of the album, but a couple of my favorite songs. You know, obviously, Sorry was the big hit, but Particles, the piano version, I love, but also Amsterdam. I'm a big fan of the whole album. Are you guys working on anything new currently?
Just released an EP.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to download it right now.
Yeah, basically what happened was we went back into we got back from one of the festivals over summer into London, and we went to visit our record label, and they were like, "Well, what are you going to do for a bit?" And we thought, "Well, let's finish touring album two. We'll do album three in a year or so, or whatever." And they said, "Let's put something out between what we got." And we said, "Nothing." They're like, "Can you record and write an EP over the next couple of weeks?" And we stupidly agreed to it, so we just had to rush this EP recording.
Wow. It's wild how...
But it actually came... I'm surprised. I'm genuinely surprised. It's not bad.
Yeah, well, the whole chronology, the whole shift of the way music is parsed out and released now, is it, I mean, you used to wait on that album?
That's part of the beauty of it. Working that quickly, so, like, writing it, recording it, releasing it, like... All the
artworks,
like making decisions that quickly.
Does it make you more productive, or does it make you? It's the same amount of output, just parsed out.
In
a different way.
It makes it constantly exciting, and it forces you to make decisions.
Exactly.
Kind of half the problem, like the dithering between.
Right.
This it also made everything really creative. It's like sometimes if you write an album and then you sit on it for like a year. And then you're really essentially trying to recreate a demo that you've done that last year in the studio. This time it was like the whole recording and writing process was one. And that was, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I was into it.
Cool. Well, keep cranking it out, guys, because we're definitely fans, and we appreciate you taking your time off to
come by here. No, it's our pleasure.
All and good. Visit us. And when you're in the States, obviously, open invitation to come by our studio.
We'll have a 60-gallon cup of coffee waiting for you.
Pizza and a coffee, please.
Yeah. Breakfast pizza.
And I want to thank Paul Anthony from Planet Rock for being here. Nice to meet you, sir.
You
too. And keep the rock alive here in the UK, and we'll do the same over the seas. So we appreciate it. Let's hear it, guys. Joe and Dom from Nothing But Themes. Paul Anthony. Planet Rock. Thank you so much, guys. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with more live from London on 93.3 WMMR.
Welcome back to another Pierre Presents here at the Ardmore Music Hall.
Listen Tuesday at 2 p.m. for Pierre Presents...
Ladies and gentlemen, Rival Sons.
Don't miss this intimate session featuring Q&A with Pierre Robert. captured live at Ardmore Music Hall with professional recording by Indre Recording. Pierre presents Rival Sons. Hear it Tuesday at 2 p.m. Sponsored by the Ocean Resort and Casino, Atlantic City. Visit theoceanac.com. And from Atlantic Records, Ardmore Music Hall and 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Well, you'll have to excuse me because I have to use the bathroom.
No, the toilet.
The toilet.
The loo.
The loo. By the way, did anybody use the loo here yet?
Yes.
Okay. Did anybody walk into a mirror?
Twice.
Okay.
It's in the W here. They have strategically placed mirrors all over the place. And yes, I've been having a hard time with my perception of what is real and what is a reflection.
When I got into the room, it took me a little while to discover where my toilet cube was.
Yes.
Which was hidden right next to my shower cube.
Yes.
All behind mirrors. And I'm like, what? Where? Do I just piss on the floor?
Listen, kudos to the Brits and their bathrooms, though, because...
Very efficient.
You get your own bathroom. If you want to sit down,
yes,
you don't have a 2-foot-high gap of Larry next to you pinching a loaf.
Oh, Larry. Yeah. You mean in the public restrooms, yes.
Oh,
yeah.
It's private.
And you know what I've noticed? That the public restrooms are nice.
Yeah.
Like they're clean, they're nice. Like it's...
You should have been to Wembley yesterday.
Oh, no.
Well,
no.
It depends on where you are. Yeah, because I stopped at a couple places, especially the ones near the tube.
A little different.
A little stanky.
Yeah, you peed in a trough.
But here's what I need to do before we go on this. We do have the Bizarre File coming up. Maybe we have a moment to chit-chat because we do have some guests coming up in a little while. But we have an announcement to make, and I have the details of this case. Are you able to give me the proper setup for this or not?
Well, what I can do, Preston, is I can give you a drum roll.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
No, I can't.
All right, don't worry about it.
I switched that with Iron Maiden.
You know what? Go get the traffic cone guy, and he can play a fanfare. So... I'm really happy about this. This is Preston and Steve show presenting this, and this is our announcement. True TV's Impractical Jokers. This is show number 2 that's going to take place, and I love the fact they've named it this, the Cranges McBasketball World Comedy Tour, starring the Tenderloins. It's a brand new tour, and it is going to be Saturday, January 19th. The second show is at 8 p.m. So there's already one. They've added a second show, and it will be at the Met.
That's very cool.
The new venue on North Broad. So tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. via themetphilly.com, and I'm sure we'll have some tickets to give away in the very near future. And I've seen the Impractical Jokers live show. It is so much fun, and we love those guys.
They're great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the crowd loves them. Very interactive.
I wonder if it airs over here at all, or because I've seen a lot of shows. You know what airs a lot here? I've seen The Simpsons.
The Simpsons? There was about 9 back-to-back episodes.
Yeah.
A lot of Vin Diesel over the weekend.
I was
Fast and Furious and Triple X.
Yeah.
Because it's all about family.
That's correct.
And, but some interesting choices. But, yeah, a lot of American stuff. When they play it, though, they play it in large chunks.
Yes, you're right. Absolutely.
I saw Star Wars Episode 3 in German last night. They have German television here as well. Yeah, so if you ever wanted to hear what Ewan McGregor sounds like with a German dialect, come to England.
Yeah, you could. You could definitely get it. Hey, I want to thank, my wife and I took a 5-hour driving tour of London on Saturday, and I got hooked up with this guy named Peter Mulcahy through a group called Tours by Locals. It's a great service where
you rave about this.
Local people give tours in cities all around the world. So you can find them even in Philadelphia. If you wanted to get a tour of Philly from some local people, you can go on Tours by Locals, and they'll set you up with somebody. But Peter took us on a whirlwind trip through London, and we stopped at a lot of really great locations, and I told him that I was a Beatles fan, so he really tailored it to that. We did the biggies. We did Parliament and Buckingham Palace and Westminster Abbey.
The subroutes.
And he just, we went and we got our picture here. Here's some of the history. Now let's go do the stuff you really like, which is the music. So we saw the venues where Jimi Hendrix first played. We went to John's apartment. We went to Paul's London home. We went to where famous photos, album covers, the pictures were taken.
Did you go
obviously
to the,
we went to Abbey Road.
So you went to the balcony, the famous balcony shot of the Beatles?
At the EMI headquarters. That's inside, so we couldn't get
inside,
into there, but he's like, that's where they took the picture, and this is where... And then he rattled off all the artists that were part of the EMI.
Fellow, it's Paul McCartney, the guy blown into the road cone.
But listen, one of the things, if you do come to London, is look on the buildings for these discs that are on the walls. They're either blue or green, and they're the historical markers.
Oh.
And they will tell you John Lennon's home from year to year, historical significance of the royal family, or all the history.
Well, there's obviously the point was made. There is centuries and centuries and centuries worth of history here.
So as you're going through, as you're walking through the streets today, Case, anybody, look up about 10 feet up, maybe 15 feet up on the side of a building. If you see a disc, stop and read it.
Well,
because we have those markers all over Philadelphia
and
in the Delaware Valley in general. And if you stop and take a moment to read them, you might find something that you had no idea.
You might learn something.
You might learn something.
Like where the street signs
are? The Bill Cosby walking tour of London.
No, but Kathy, it took me forever to figure out where the street signs were.
Is that where the discs are, though? Like below the street signs?
Street signs are up. A lot of them are up on the walls.
So the building.
Those are at corners. This could be anywhere.
Oh, anywhere. Oh.
Yeah, because it will be, you know, we went to the spot where Ringo and Barbara Bach got married, and there's a photo of them right after they got married, and we stood in the archway where that was and took a picture there.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's some really, really neat things. And he took us to where, you know, Freddie Mercury was in the audience to see, you know, David Bowie performing and blah, blah, blah. And there's so many great music venues.
At a certain point, you have to trust him, like, really?
Well, yeah, but a lot of it had.
This is where Darth Vader was born. What? He's fictional.
A lot of them had
historical
markers that were there to indicate that, yes, this was indeed it. But, you know, like we saw where Jimi Hendrix had lived for a number of years, and right there they had taken a picture for one of the famous photos of him, and he showed me the picture, and he's like, this is it. You can see. Oh, and one of the things that I really loved is we went to where the Beatles had their last performance on the roof
of the
building, which was the Apple building at the time.
Right.
It is now an Abercrombie and Fitch.
So same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah.
But when you go inside, they have,
I'm not going to take my shirt off.
Well, they have a pair of John's shoes in there, and they've got some things behind a display this year, and you can buy.
So there's an acknowledgement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Definitely. And you can buy. We bought some shirts for the family that said, you know, where we were.
Can you get up to the roof?
No. Well, I didn't ask.
Okay.
I don't think you can. I thought about maybe going back and trying to bribe them and see if they let me get up there and take a picture. But
I'm sure they get bombarded with those requests.
I stepped down the block a little and tried to imagine what it might be like to just be walking down the street and all of a sudden hear, you know, "Don't Let Me Down" being played and just being amazed by that. So that was really, really cool.
So that sounds like you had a great time.
Did. Yeah. Absolutely.
And you did all that on Saturday?
All that on Saturday.
And then where'd you go for dinner Saturday night?
We went to a restaurant suggested by one Mr. Mark Summers of Double Dare fame called La Petite Maison. And that was Rochelle's birthday dinner, and we had a great dinner.
Happy belated birthday to Rochelle, by the way.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah. So, and then we went to, yesterday, went to see a play, as well as Casey did, and we were going to have members of that company and writer of that show called The Play That Went Wrong. It was hilarious.
It was so great.
It was hilarious.
I mean, it was super slapsticky.
Were you at the same show?
He went to the matinee. I was at the Eagles game while he was at that show.
Right.
But they had a 7 o'clock showing last night that I went to.
Currently running on Broadway.
It is.
Till...
It was produced by J.J. Abrams, brought it to Broadway.
Did he really?
Yes.
Okay, it's until January, I think, it airs or runs. So if you get a chance, go see it. It's great. So we'll talk to those guys a little bit later on. But we've all been doing our own thing while we've been out here, hitting different spots, and we've all been sharing stories with each other. And I think it's great because we're not all doing the exact same thing.
No. Right.
Come back and say, I did this, did you do that? And we have other things to look forward to maybe doing another time when we come back.
Yeah, we did. Well, we were at the Eagles game yesterday, and that was pretty wild to see Wembley Stadium.
It is huge.
It is huge. And I think it was actually a sellout crowd for an American football game because, man, it you. I was scanning. You could not find one empty seat. Wow. I mean, it was packed.
Wow.
And I caught a T-shirt that was shot into the crowd. I mean, there were 90,000 people there, and this guy caught a T-shirt. Marissa, after I had walked away from our seats, got clocked in the face with a T-shirt. And, so did you guys know that?
Now we do.
Well, Marissa and I were before I caught the T-shirt, we were discussing how where we sit at Eagles games, we're up high, so we never have an opportunity to, you know, catch anything. And so we're just sitting there, and they're shooting these T-shirts into the crowd, and I'm sitting.
The seats were in the end zone, by the way.
Yeah. And I just look up, and I just see this white object just, you know, arcing into the sky, and I go,
music.
It's an angel.
Yeah. It was like The Natural, right? Yeah. And I'm looking at it, and it's just, I'm like, wow, that could be that is. And listen, guys,
it could be the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
My hand-eye coordination is second to none. All right, so just so you understand that, I can catch and throw really, really well. So I knew right away that this thing was coming right for me.
Yeah.
And I stood up, and I the guy in front of me was kind of tallish, right?
This is mine.
This is mine. And I thought about maybe pushing him out of the way like they do in Hail Mary throws. And so I catch it, and he's got the bottom of it, but I've got the meat of the
seriously?
T-shirt. Oh, yeah, yeah.
There was a struggle?
Well, dude, you got to figure. There's him in front of me, the guy behind me,
he's
and then me. And so I had the meat of the T-shirt, and I had to wrestle it away, and I got it. And it's a large, and it'll never fit my fat ass.
That's all right.
No, I'll give it to, like, one of my kids or something.
Hang it up. Yeah. Frame it. Do something like that. Marissa got hit in the face.
I did. Casey, in the moment that you stepped away to go visit your cousins in another section, I had the same experience that we had moments ago because you and I were sitting next to each other, and I look up, and I see that T-shirt, and I say, I'm never going to get this. Everybody around me is a foot taller. Even the guy in front of me who's 6 inches below me is still a foot taller than me. So I'm just standing there holding my beer and my friend's beer, so I look up and I think, plenty of people around me have got me covered. I'm not even going to try. So I look up, and I'm looking up, and I'm still looking up, and boom! Hits me right in the face.
Did you keep the shirt?
Yes. Okay. So everybody around me felt so bad. It bounced off my face, and it, like, everything went silent. I just heard the tick. Sat there.
By the way, did you guys also hear Marissa almost got thrown out by Wembley security because she didn't want to wait in line?
That's not what I heard.
Yeah.
Would you hear?
I heard a different story. I heard there was a breach of a barrier.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
But it wasn't her.
Well, she went over and her boyfriend went after and he got tackled.
Oh, that's what it was? Oh, I thought it was the boyfriend went over and he got tackled. I didn't know he was chasing you. Marissa.
Wait, what? So, to get in? All right, let me start to the beginning.
Take us back.
It was a little frustrating day. I'm going to be a little transparent. I had sent, like, all of these emails that had all these details, and then I'm getting text messages and tons of text messages and realized that, like, where our tickets were, I was there, and other people weren't there. So I'm, like, collecting all the information. I said, I'm going to be nice, and I'm going to bring everybody's tickets to them and so they can collect them.
Well, just but by the way, to put this into context as well, so, you know, we don't have our physical tickets, so the odds are you're going to run into somebody that you need to give tickets to when there's only 90,000 people in a stadium.
Right.
So she's off somewhere else.
Of course you're just going to stumble across. Yes.
I knew I'd eventually. I mean, eventually the odds are in your favor when you after you've met the first 89,999 people,
right,
you're going to find the person you're looking for.
So the nice itinerary I sent had the exact address where everything was, and everybody was meeting at one place. So I said, stay there. I will meet everybody there. It was a little hard to get there. So we came down from the tailgate. We're wandering around. Wembley Stadium is huge. Like, it's like the outside of the Vet times 10.
Yeah.
And every time I kept asking directions to where I was supposed to go, they would send us the wrong direction. And we literally looped Wembley Stadium 2 or 3 times. And then I keep getting phone calls because everybody wants to know where I am because everybody's waiting and they had been waiting. And I'm a little frustrated. Had a few beers, and I'm annoyed getting the wrong direction. So I finally get the right directions, and the guy was a little rude, and it was like a few minutes before game time. I could hear the national anthem happening, and I could tell that they had had it with all the Eagles fans that were probably coming.
No, they had had it with the Jaguars fans. The Eagles fans, they loved.
You're right, because we were awesome.
Oh.
And so we got there, and there was like a 10-deep cattle chute that had nobody in it. So I was like, screw this. I'm going to jump over this one little barricade just so I can walk to the front.
Uh-huh.
And that's where it happened. And I'd been walking around Wembley Stadium for like 35 minutes, phone calls after phone calls, trying to help everybody, trying to ask. I'm even putting other people on the phone saying, like, my friend is telling you exactly where he is. Can you please direct me there? And they would direct me the opposite way. And so I got there, and then my boyfriend was very sweet and saw what I did and was like, oh, God, I got to go follow her after her and make sure she's okay. And then that's where it happened.
And then he got tackled.
He got tackled. Apparently he got, like, clotheslined.
It wasn't that bad.
So they actually sent him back to the States. He was deported. No.
Did he get to go
by,
in?
By the time yes. Marissa found us, so Rodney and I were standing in the same place for so long, there's actually now a statue of both Rodney and I there at the top of the ramp. Because I'm like, where the F? And I was literally seconds away from saying, well, we've seen the outside of the stadium, and that'll have to do because it was just...
Yeah. Listen, it's never.
They wanted to make an example of us. They were taking the tickets from us. They were like
the full body cavity check, the whole deal. They
deloused
you. It was amazing.
Exactly. So,
well, listen, you're talking about a gigantic crowd. You're gonna have to wait.
Yep,
it's packed. You're gonna have to wait.
Well, there was no waiting though. I'm not gonna get this clear. There was nobody there. It was completely empty. I just wanted to get there quicker.
Okay.
All right. Anyhow,
I'm not in the wrong here.
We all have stories.
You guys,
there are more stories coming. Trust me on this. We haven't even done the bizarre file yet, so I want to do a super.
Oh, geez.
I know. Super quick version of that.
Yeah,
because we have a sponsor that we need to make sure that we get in. Let's do the B file right now, please, Jason, if you will.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's bizarre file.
Brought to you this morning by Heritage Business Systems. The document imaging equipment solution is here. Business Systems, service satisfaction, reliability. That's Heritage Business Systems, your authorized Canon copier dealer. We'll start with this. One Texas mother gave chase after her BMW was taken for a joyride by her teenage son. Aaron Martinez, who is 14, has been dubbed the El Paso Ferris Bueller as he hatched a plan to sneak out of his Texas home by turning off the Wi-Fi. At that point, apparently she said, it blocks out my cameras, my home security. I don't see when the doors are being opened or closed. Lisa is the mother. She was at work, unaware that Aaron had left in the car to pick up his friend. That friend's mom found out and contacted Lisa. She said, I immediately called my daughter and I told her, go outside, see if my car is there. And she said, nope, it's not there. So Lisa sped home, picked up her daughter Liza, who recorded the whole ordeal and posted it on social media. Now, they tracked him down at a nearby intersection. Lisa screamed for her son to pull over. Once he stopped, Lisa hopped out to teach him a lesson, disciplining him there, right there on the side of the road with a belt. She beat his ass
in the street
and filmed it.
That's
and
awesome.
Posted it on social media.
How do you like it now, El Paso Ferris Bueller?
Yeah. So she said, it's my son's well-being, his livelihood, his best friend's well-being, not to mention all the other people on the roadways. He's 14. He shouldn't be driving. As a result, her son may think twice about pulling a stunt like that again. And he said, I deserved it. I made a bad choice, and I won't.
You're right, Mama.
And I won't do it again.
Thanks for beating my ass.
But it's not the first time that Aaron took one of his parents' cars, so he was grounded till further notice.
Well, the fact that this little prick is jamming the home security system.
Yeah. His mom.
This is not going to be the last time.
His mom also took his door off its hinges and confiscated his electronics, so he's not going to be able to do it anymore.
Wow.
Let's see. This is going to be super short. I apologize as we have more. You know what? I'll do two more. Okay. So, kids have creative ways of following rules. A 17-year-old in England was upset after his school, Spalding Grammar School, created a rule banning sixth graders from carrying bags between classes. The school said it was because injury was being caused to younger students because of ever larger bags being carried on their shoulders. Instead, they're encouraged to carry books by hand between classes.
Well, Old school.
Well, Jacob Ford silently protested the rule by using a wicker basket and a microwave oven to carry his books around in.
That's pretty good.
He also wrote a 3,000-word essay in which he says a compromise could be made. He got suspended for 2 days after he refused to hand over his cell phone, which he was using to keep his mom informed about how his silent protest was going. And then one last story. Oh, my God. A sculpture in New Zealand is being changed after at least two birds have been impaled on it.
What is it?
Artist David McCracken's Diminish and Ascend Staircase was installed in the middle of a lake at the Christchurch Botanical Garden and is designed to give it the illusion of a stairway leading from the lake into the sky. But it ends in a sharp point, which has proven fatal to a few birds. Birds
Jeez.
Are becoming impaled on this artwork.
Wow.
McCracken said, it's not really the image you want. You know, dead birds bleeding down the end of the sculpture. If somebody has a photo of it, I'd really like to see it. I can only assume that the birds flew straight at it and were not able to see it. Obviously, I have to do something about it, he said.
It's similar to the brand new bridge that they built going from Summers Point into Ocean City.
Yes.
For some reason, the design of this bridge is just killing seagulls left and right.
They're colliding with it?
They're colliding with cars now.
Oh, boy.
As a result,
dude,
yeah.
And my basketball backboard.
Yes.
I mean, every now and then I come
Are
out.
Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah, because it's see-through, you know? It's clear, and you just fly right into it.
Well, that sucks.
I know.
Yeah.
But I'm not taking it
Do you have a little
down.
Tree triage set up for your all the wounded birds out there?
All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. We are going to take a break because our next guests have arrived. We're going to get them on the air here shortly. We have a few more people that we're going to talk to through the course of the morning. So we'll break. We'll come back. More live from London on 93.3 WMMR.
It's Preston and Steve live from London on 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
We've spent some time in London over the weekend. Finally, our first show was literally straight from the airport to the broadcast.
And you would never have known. It was so precise. It is now, if you want to hear it, it is available to listen to in the National Museum of Broadcasting.
But now we've had the weekend to take in the culture of the city and get a little bit more acclimated with everything. And, you know, I feel like a local, to be honest.
Do you?
Oh, I
You
do.
Look like a local.
You fit right in.
You have your own road cone. You're ready to go.
Woo! Woo! We are going to welcome our next guest here. Casey came across these guys. They have a YouTube channel. Currently, he is getting in the neighborhood of 200,000 subscribers. So it's very, very popular. It is called Being British. Case, how did you stumble across this?
Actually, a listener of ours.
No kidding.
Had stumbled across this. She's a huge fan. Maybe I can name check her a little bit later on. But she had reached out to me and basically CC'd their manager or whoever. And Marlene, right? And it was so easy to put this together because I just replied all. I had watched the videos, and then here we are.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. So Casey reached out, and sure enough, they came by this morning. So we want to welcome from Being British. This is Joel and Leah. Who are
Hi.
Here.
Hey. Oh, wow. That's such a nice welcome.
Morning.
Morning. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So how long ago did you start the YouTube show?
We started about 5 years ago. And it was only about maybe 2 years ago that we started niching down on sort of American versus British type content. So.
Okay. Yeah. And that's the crux to what I watched a lot of what your videos and got up to speed on everything.
Yeah.
And, which is something that always fascinates us. And it's we share so much in common, and yet there's wonderful distinctions that make it interesting. Yeah. Now, as Preston says, and everyone's loving the city, I've been here before, and I know Kathy has as well, and Nick, maybe you as well. But it's just interesting to hear from your perspective what you find interesting about the United States and vice versa, and what your perceptions are of our perceptions of you. And you do basically three videos a week about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Three a week, nearly right. Four.
And so it's very, very casual, but you have your, you know, you just sit there, and you guys you're described as best friends. I believe that, judging by the videos.
It's true.
It's true.
People
true,
think we're
yeah.
married, but we're
or
not.
Or siblings. And you get that a lot as well.
You met in school? Is that right?
That's where we met.
Academy of the Dramatic Arts?
Mm-hmm. We met at drama school, would you believe? We're both actors.
Yeah. And then we hated each other.
Really?
Yeah, we really didn't get on.
No.
Really?
Here we are now. We work together.
Well, let me ask you, just by watching the videos, I mean, I know you're best friends, but has there ever been any romantic spark between you two?
Not at all.
Because we hated each other at first as well.
You got off on
the
right
connection
foot.
Wasn't there.
So. What, I mean, you're
but that's probably why it works.
They're both super good looking.
Yeah.
I mean, from our point of view, but it's the classic. It's like in Cheers with Sam and Diane or any sort of thing. It's, you know, there's this wonderful chemistry that you guys have, and it definitely comes through in the videos. So.
Oh, that's nice. We do get a lot of comments that people are just wishing we'd get married, but it's just not going to happen.
Every series where that happens, it goes downhill, so don't do
it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't ruin what we've got.
Right, no. Exactly.
So have you, obviously you have a lot of American fans. Mm. Where do most of your subscribers come from, do you know?
Joe?
So I'm the analytics nerd. 85% are American, and then within that, I think most of our subscribers are from California, Texas, and Florida.
Okay.
And we've got viewers in every state, but those are our sort of top three. And then I think the fourth, I looked today, and it's Illinois.
So you, oh, really? Where's Philly?
Philly, well, Philly's on the East Coast, and we're, you know.
Where is Philly?
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. Where is Philly? In the general area, I think people where you, I don't know, it's always been a source of fascination. That's why I think, that we have a BBC America, and you know, so many of, we're fans of a lot of British television. I know you are, conversely, you know, there's stuff that in the entertainment realm from the United States that you
love. Yeah, we think you guys do entertainment best.
Yeah,
definitely.
You're like, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
There are some things that can that might hold true, and some things that aren't that we put out. But how do you get the ideas for your? Because a lot of what you do is you'll have lists of things.
Yeah.
Where you'll go through different topics. Are they sent to you by your viewers potential lists, or do you just Because if you're putting out three episodes a week, that's a fair amount of content.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. So sometimes, well, our viewers will send in words from like their, like just slang words from where they're from, and they'll make, like, we'll guess them, basically.
Right.
And that became a segment, like an ongoing segment, like guessing New York slang, guessing
Arkansas slang.
Slang. Yeah. And honestly, we're so bad at it. We just take like a guess. It's, we don't do any research. And so I think our viewers feel like they're educating us, which definitely is a really nice dynamic.
Well, Preston was talking about that segment. And then there's also things that are, there's a list that I actually jotted down. It's seven things that you love about America.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And you want to go through some of those?
Yeah, let's hear some of
them. Is this taken from
the
video?
It's from your video.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's
discuss.
At your number one spot, I don't think it was in any level of importance or degree of importance, portion sizes.
Huh? Oh, did we say we loved that?
About the United States, oh, yes.
Came back a lot heavier. yeah.
Well, I often wonder what Americans must think, or you guys think, when you come to the UK and you're just served a very small portion, or even free refills on drinks in the UK.
You don't have that.
Get that.
Yeah,
really?
I'm mortified for you guys. Like, I had a really small portion of food the other day, and I was thinking, like, what? Imagine if we brought an American here. Like, what would they do?
I'll tell you what, though, the water. That's where I can't get. Like, what is this?
Yeah, that's like a shock, isn't it?
This is my first sip in the morning.
that's tragic.
So it is like a shock glass, but we do, and it's. I guess we're so jaded to it that everything comes in these huge. Sometimes and so when we go to a place and the portion, I mean, what the hell? Look at all this food.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what you would think when you see it.
Yeah.
Well, definitely, and we don't tend to take things home from restaurants. Like,
no,
I've heard
not really
that
a thing.
Americans take it home.
My wife and I leave, it looks like we're packing for a trip.
All right. Oh, really?
I have a question about that. You don't take it home because there isn't anything left, or
it's just not is it the done thing? Like,
not really.
If we were somewhere and there was loads of food left over, unlikely, because we love food, I'd probably turn to you and say, like, is this kind of one of those places where we can or we can't?
Yeah, we'd be too worried about what other people think.
What you think?
Because we're just too British.
Isn't that why the term, like, doggy bag came about? It's like, we're taking it home for the dog.
We're not going to eat this. This is for our
dog.
This is
the doggy bag.
This is for Oscar.
I can understand that if you're at a top-level restaurant, you don't want to look like, can you put this in a bag for me? And we have that consideration as well, but when you're at, like, a chain restaurant, in the States, you go for it.
I love it when they offer it. Like, shall I just box that up for you? And you're like, yes, hon, please do.
Sure.
Well, that's kind of how you know the, like, higher-end restaurants. They'll take your food and they will box it up for you.
Oh.
You still, even at a nice restaurant, they'll still box it
up. Sure.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's one of the considerations. So number two on the list, you had friendliness. And this was actually kind of pleasant to hear, that you found that you had an experience with a lot of friendly clerks and things in the States, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So you guys didn't visit Philadelphia.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, we've heard that sort of on the East Coast or in the North that Americans tend to be less friendly than people from the South. Is that true?
There's a different type of hospitality. In the South, you get a lot of comments like, can I help you, sweetheart or darling? Or
I can't handle that.
Oh, really? This is women saying that to men a lot of times.
Yeah.
Just, okay. Hey, darling. Hey,
so
sweetheart.
Then what do you call your loved one? Like, where does it end?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you know what I mean?
Lover is what you're saying.
You're not as nice to the loved ones. You're nicer to strangers, I think.
I think a waitress once called my ex-boyfriend love, and I was like, livid.
Yeah.
She was
Wow.
Can I... anything for you, love? And I was thinking, I haven't even said I love you yet to this guy. Like, this is absurd.
Why don't you just go with that whore then?
That's nice to hear that your experience is that way. I have found the same here. Everybody who we've experienced in a service capacity has been very cordial.
Does that surprise you?
And willing to help.
Yeah. Perhaps because you bring such a positive energy. Like, it would if they'd have to be quite a beep to not.
Well, I think that what you're saying has a lot to do with it. The context that you're in, and what your way, the way you approach people, because it's the same with me. Everybody around here has been just totally wonderful.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a Northeastern to the United States. There's a, you know, we have the reputation for being a little, more curt and so on and so forth. And that's true. I think there are different ways that you show your compassion and caring.
Yeah.
But you, I think, is it you, Joel, who's you love the Southern.
Yeah.
Southern hospitality.
I love the accent. I'm just fascinated by all of the sort of Southern states.
All right, okay. So do you do an American accent?
Oh, I mean, we could give it a go.
We could give it a go. I mean, we haven't rehearsed.
Can we give it something to say?
The service in Philadelphia was horrible.
Okay.
Just like that?
Yeah.
Right.
You first. Here's a boy saying it.
The service in Philadelphia was awful.
That was good.
Wow, you didn't do the southern thing, because a lot of times they automatically go to the southern accent.
Okay, let's have a different sentence for me, but let's make it something about food.
All right.
Okay, go on then.
Preston, do you want a sentence?
Don't call him love, you bitch.
Yeah.
Don't call him love, you bitch. No.
That's close. That's
good. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The thing we find is, and then I end up doing it, there's so many different dialects within England, and I'm always doing a mishmash of multiples. I find it, to me, it would be so difficult if you had a hardcore British accent to do what I would consider an antiseptic accent, an American accent.
Right.
You know, from for example, my dialect or Preston's. So the ones that people go to, Casey's right, when they do an American accent, they default to a Southern or like a Texas accent. Like, that's the way the country is.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to houses. What about American houses do you love?
Oh, so big and spacious, aren't they?
So much space.
Yeah, I just love like the open plan vibes. Yeah. I used to be obsessed with this show when I was a kid. It was like... Extreme Makeover Home Edition.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I used to sob at every episode when he used to like transform people's lives.
Oh, the guy Ty is actually.
Oh, is he your friend?
He's a friend of the show. Yeah.
No, stop.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was actually discussing this over the weekend about the enormity of our houses. But as a result, we end up just acquiring stuff that we don't need.
Okay, that's
and
so
you
true.
Guys live a little bit more efficiently than we do.
Yeah,
I think you have to. Our house, lots of houses here are built in the Victorian time, so they're really small. I live in like a row of terraced houses, and they're just quite small. When we had a sofa delivered, we were worrying how we're going to fit it down the hallway.
How are we going to get it in?
Yeah,
I love that efficiency though, that because you do, for example, like the sink in the hotel room here, the W, which is fantastic. I could, when I put my toothbrush in, the top four bristles get wet. You know, so it's very shallow. It's very, but everything does nine other things. But by the nature, you have very old architecture here too, which is not that way. But you're drawn, Leah, to the open space, like even in offices and things like that. Do you like that idea?
Oh, and what do you mean, like American offices?
Like, it's all the rage now with American offices, where you have sort of an open plan where there's no one has separate offices.
We're starting to get away from that though, because we found that it was too distracting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing worse than someone distracting you at work.
Yeah.
Speaking of homes, and you had mentioned Extreme Makeover Home Edition.
Oh, yeah.
There is a show called Love It or List It.
Oh, that's not on here yet.
No, but you look like one of the hosts.
You're joking.
No, I swear to God.
I don't think
you're going to get any traction on that one.
Did they have trading spaces over here? Was that...
What's that? Ty
originally came from that. No, she says they don't have it.
There was a British version of Trading Spaces. Trading Absolutely. Spaces. In fact, they swapped. They had the American cast come and do a little while here in London. It was another one of these myriad home improvement shows.
Oh, I love it.
Her name is Homes Under the Hammer.
I like the story. I think Americans love a good story.
Yeah.
And when they show a struggling family, and then like they help them. I just can't.
Do you fall for that all the time?
No, honestly, I catch my reflection in my laptop screen, and I'm just breaking down. And I'm like, and then I'm like, just pull yourself together, Leo, and get on with all the stuff you have to do today.
It's true though. There's like even the X Factor. Everyone has their crying. You know, everyone's got their story, and they just that's so manipulative.
If you're just tuning in, we have Joel and Leah, who are from Being British, a wonderful YouTube channel, and Steve. What's next on this list of things?
All right.
I love about America.
Preston, entertainment. We were talking about this before. You love American entertainment. It's funny because a lot of times we look to England and we say, man, this is some great television and stuff that they're generating. But you say Americans do it better.
I just think, like, also as actors, it's just bigger budgets in America, isn't it? Just like spending a bit more money on a show, and the production values are amazing. And
do you want to know the big secret? Let me tell you the big secret.
What's
virtually
that?
80% of the people who we think are American actors are British actors.
I remember that from when I used to watch like Gossip Girl when I was younger, and then I found out that like Ed Westwick was British, and I was like, stop.
Yeah.
And but his American accent is flawless.
You know, Walking Dead.
Yes.
Andrew Lincoln is British.
Yeah.
He's one of them.
You get the actors for the on the cheap, because we're British, we'll take it.
That's right, yeah.
And then but, you know, you can put money on, like, making everything else amazing, like locations and filming destinations and stuff like that.
So what do you love? So you love the big budgets. Are you fans of, like, the big Marvel spectacles and then the superhero movies? Or what specifically... What are you a fan of as far as American entertainment and pop culture goes?
I just love a good, like, comedy.
Okay.
Just a good comedy film. Something like, okay, all right. Big fan of Mean Girls, even though it was like 20 million years ago. But I just love, like, all big right. American, like, films. We were watching every film to do with, like, high school in America. We were like, is this real? Honestly.
It was fairly close. Yeah. So you're like what they call hard R, like R-rated comedies, like Classic. Wedding Crashes or things of that nature.
Oh, I love all that.
Okay. All right. And it's the same for you, Joel? Or what do you like?
Yeah, I think I just like the long-running TV series. I don't feel like we get that as much in the UK.
See, we were talking about this recently. We love a definitive ending, a 6-7 8-episode series where a character can be killed off, and, you know, it's part of the deal.
Yeah,
a lot of times when a series goes on for 6 or 7 years, they just start repeating storylines, and it gets annoying. But you like that.
Yeah, no, I think I like that. And I do think British television and films, entertainment in general, is getting better.
Okay.
I mean, now I think our... a good sort of rival to America in entertainment, but I still think, Americans pick.
What about what about British shows that make their way to the States and then we get the American versions of them, like Shameless?
The Office. Is
rule of thumb tends to be most British people think that America has ruined the British show, like the American Office.
Yeah. Some Americans will feel the same way, I think enough credit to the American versions of those shows, because Shameless and The Office were great in the States.
Yeah.
They just originated here. They're just different. Yeah. That's my perspective.
But I still don't think, like, the UK has, like, nailed anything as good as, like, Breaking Bad, which I binge-watched in, like, 4 weeks.
Mm.
And, like, where are, like, the British series that are, like, OMG, right. I can't stop watching this?
That's addictive that way. But to the point of, like, The Office, for example, I love the original British version
Ricky
of The Office is great. However, there are so many... cast off lines that I don't get because I'm not familiar with the jargon or what the references are too, and that's the difference. Yeah. I'm sure there's stuff I'm missing.
Definitely.
But, I feel like we're more literate, like not literate. That's really
you are
bad.
Smarter than
I feel
than
we're
wow.
like we're yes. No, yes. no, no, no.
You are
no.
clearly better schooled and better educated.
You know, like, okay, so say there was, like, a joke in the American Office. I feel like, because we're so, like, surrounded by, like, American entertainment, we'd maybe get that.
I think
more so than you'd get, like, a really British joke from, like, the North.
And I think that's the same with accents, because we've constantly been surrounded by American media from when we're growing up. So it's
so
easier
for
us to tune into that accent.
That makes sense.
Well, we're going to get to that, but next up on the list is cheap transport.
Mm-hmm. Cheap
you
transport.
Love transportation.
Oh, wait, did I say that? Did I say that?
You said that cheap transportation, and I watched it. I watched cheap transportation. You were fascinated by how you can get around on the cheap.
How was it cheap in New York to get on the subway?
Yeah, the subway was a lot cheaper than the tube here. So I think that's where we got that from. And I don't know, when we were in Florida, so my family go there quite a lot.
Oh, really?
The gas prices were a lot cheaper than they are in the UK. But we speak to Floridians, they're like, no, are you kidding? It's so expensive. But I feel like compared to the UK,
so that's sort of vague. That
but
one.
You did see how much nicer the tube is than the New York subway,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Like,
yeah.
That's why it's cheaper. It smells like piss.
I think subway's
I would rather pay
so
extra.
Bad. Yeah.
There's no signs. We kept getting lost.
Yeah.
I was mortified. I hate being a tourist.
That's what I'm so impressed with here, is how easy the public transportation is.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You read the sign, you know exactly where you're going.
Kathy's addicted. Mm-hmm. She'd be one of those people that just falls asleep on the on the train.
But wait a minute.
Wakes up in Heathrow.
No. She took the tube from Leicester Square to Piccadilly Circus.
Oh, no.
Which
you
she could have walked
so
shorter.
That's
it did
stop.
Take me a day to figure out that it was
no, that's so bad.
She when came out of the hotel, she made a left to walk down the Leicester Square instead of making a right and walking a half a block to Piccadilly Circus.
Oh, no. True, that's criminal.
It happened. What else you got, Steve?
Last two on your list. Number six, accents. We were talking about that. You love the southern accent.
Yeah.
A lot of people find that annoying, but you love it.
I love it. Well, it's the same here. Lots of people find, like, the Bristol accent or the Welsh accent annoying. I really like those ones. I think it's just personal preference.
I love a bit of Welsh. I do. It sounds like that.
Okay.
A little bit like that.
A little bit lyrical.
That was bad. But, yeah.
Do people be... Because I find myself, and it happens all the time, I love the dialects, and I'll do them. And as we're talking, I'll just lapse into it. And you don't want to be insulting to someone. We had a Russian photographer in the studio a little while ago, and I was talking to him in his own. And I'm like, oh my God.
He started doing
No, you're joking. You're one of those like accent chameleons.
And I'm
like, stop.
And it's annoying because I know I don't want to insult the dude, you know? So you don't like Southern accents, though, Leah.
Oh,
correct?
No. Oh, you I'm not going to upset anyone.
Right.
I've already said that you're not literate. So let's just try and try and get myself out that hole.
All right. And then finally, I can sort of see this in a way, but the weather. There we have a wider variety of weather.
Okay.
And I assume you guys are you seem like you're fit and like to get out and
oh yeah, we love a good walk.
Yeah.
We love a good walk in the countryside.
You can go for a walk from like May to July in the UK and that's it. Really.
I happen to like the class. I mean, you come here and it's overcast or it's foggy or rain. That's what you expect and that fits in it. I mean, do you find overall though, does it wear you down or do you just get used to it?
Like today, for instance, perfect weather. It's cold, but it's bright, and the sky's got like no clouds. It's just sunny and like lovely. I love that. But if it's windy or rainy, it's game over for me, and I'm in a miserable mood.
All right.
It really affects my mood.
And we can't escape it because we go up north and it's the same weather. Whereas I feel like in America, like if you have the money, if you want to fly down to a different state, you've got two completely different weathers.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that is amazing. Yeah.
You can actually, like in the middle of December, January, you can drive. Like, you don't have to fly.
You can
drive for, you know, 24 hours and be on a sunny beach.
So quick question.
Holiday in your own country. Mm. Like, we do on holiday, but it's like we're still in England.
Yeah. What's worse in England, a heat wave or a cold spell?
Heat wave, 100%. Because we're not prepared for it. We don't have aircon.
Yeah, Joel would always rather be too cold than too hot. I don't know. I think the being freezing is worse.
There's not much in the way of air conditioning here?
No. You're joking.
Only in like shopping malls or stores or things like that. But in our homes, we don't have any sort of cooling system.
That's actually what you guys have is what started to make the big thing in the States, which are those inverters, the rectangular units with the out.
Because
you can't run, you know, vents in these old buildings. And so they're a godsend. But that's why, Preston, a few years ago, remember there was a heat wave and thousands of people died in Europe right here because there was nothing to do.
No. Even the public transport, they did the temperature on the top deck of the double-decker buses here in London.
Yeah.
And it was I don't know what it is in Fahrenheit, but it was about 31 degrees, which was higher than the legal limit you're allowed to transport animals in the UK.
Oh my gosh, Joel, that's such a good fact. It's awful, eh?
Wow. Do you guys plan on making any more trips to the States in the near future?
Yeah, we were talking about this. Okay. Just as soon as the weather gets really bad here, we're just going to jump over.
Okay.
Well, it's quite loose.
So if you do come over, please come to Philadelphia. Now, Joel, from what I understand, did you come up with some Philadelphia slang terms that you wanted to find out about?
We'll help you out.
So I've got them here. So there was a couple of words.
Okay.
So one of them, and it sounds different in your accent, is the word, like, you'd say John?
John.
Say
John. John, yeah.
John. What's a John?
And so I've got the sentence, pass me the John.
Yeah.
Or John. What does that mean?
John is a word that can replace pretty much anything.
It's a noun.
It's a noun. It's a nondescript noun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, Case, I don't. I got to put these paper together. Give me one of them Johns, a clip set together.
All right.
Here we might say thingamajig.
Oh, a thingamajig. Yeah. Give me one of those thingamajigs that clips the paper together.
Right.
Oh, right.
But it can be used in a lot of different fashions. It's like,
person,
you know,
going to be a person.
Oh, I love going to that John with that John.
You're joking.
Well, but that sounds like the name John.
John.
But John. You gotta really put that W in there.
It's one of those very amorphous words that you can apply, and there's really no wrong way to use it.
All right, what else you got?
There's another one. This is the only one.
Okay.
Ard?
A-R-D?
That sounds like a British person saying
A-R-D.
Ard.
A-R-D?
Yeah.
Ard.
What's Ard?
Are you guys familiar? Made that one up.
No, that's on that. We found that online.
We found that on an article about Philadelphia.
Ard.
I wish I had.
Maybe
we
pronounced it wrong.
A-R-D.
All right,
A-R-D.
I don't. We don't know that one. How about wit? You ever heard wit?
Wit.
Wit.
Yeah.
No.
Like, oh, she's a bit witty.
No.
Not like that.
Not even remotely.
I don't know.
It means with onions.
With onions?
Yeah.
With.
So if you order.
So it's with minus the H.
Yeah. You guys you ever heard of a cheesesteak before?
Well, honestly, the Philadelphia cheesesteak. Everyone always messages us like, you've got to try it.
So if you want it with onions, you say, give me a cheesesteak wit.
Wit. Okay.
Give me a cheese steak wit.
That's, just that's like only Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Philadelphia. Oh, right.
Philadelphia. If you go somewhere else and it says, you know, if you're in Sheboygan and it says Philly cheesesteak, you say wit. They won't know what you're talking about. Okay. If you're in Philly and you say, give me a steak wit.
Wit.
That's that means with onions.
So it's saying here on Google just told me that ard means all right.
Oh, and you guys are all locals and you don't say it, so we'll just ditch that one.
And it does say it's originated in Philadelphia.
Ard.
No, not for me. Ard.
None of us have ever heard of it.
You'll probably have some listeners going like, I use it all the time.
Maybe it's just short for Ardmore. Maybe locals call it Ard. They'll meet you in the Ard.
Preston, I have the text screen up. Everybody that's texting in saying Ard means all right. All right.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
So, hang on. Are we teaching you guys?
Casey
would have known it. Nick would have known it.
You know what it is?
Spent my whole life there.
We're too old.
I guess so.
Maybe. Oh, wow.
We're too old.
All right, then.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then.
Oh, that's A-R-D stands for all right, then.
Yeah,
all right.
All right, then.
That's a crock of crap.
That's a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
I call crap on that one.
All right. Interesting. Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Is there any slang that we should know? We got to wrap up here in just a second while we are in London. Yeah, you have something for us, Leah?
Well, what have you written here, Joel? Trolleyed.
Oh, yeah. What does trolleyed mean?
Yeah, what does trolleyed mean,
guys? I'm
guessing
drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's so nice.
Got honorary Brit over here.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. Gobsmacked.
Drunk.
Flabbergasted.
Yeah, flabbergasted. Blown away. I don't understand. I'm speechless.
Simply gobsmacked.
Oh, guys, you're so good at this.
Yeah. You're good at British slang. We're not good at American.
Jeez.
Or, okay, and this isn't rude, just as a disclaimer, up the duff.
Up the duff.
Yeah. Up your ass? Up the duff.
No.
Wait, what did you say?
Up your ass.
Up your ass.
Oh, gosh. No way.
Up the duff.
I say a little bit of the old up the ass.
Like, screw you?
No.
No.
How about up the duff would mean like, wow, I don't understand. I'm up the duff on that.
No, so only women can be up the duff.
On their period?
On.
No.
Oh, pregnant.
Yeah, pregnant.
Oh.
Pregnant.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
You're talking about the front duff.
The front duff.
No, that's the fan.
Oh, that's right.
That's the fan.
What do you guys call it? Knocked up.
So knocked up. Or,
okay.
I have a question that you hear in British slang all the time, but it's sort of an expression that I don't know what the origin is or what it means. Bob's your uncle.
Oh, Bob's your uncle. Oh, there you go. Bob's your uncle.
Yeah. Like if you've done something, you've completed it. You're like, oh, Bob's your uncle. It's
done. It's like, oh, that was easy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Okay. Because Bob apparently slept around with a whole bunch of
people. Exactly. Exactly that.
He's my uncle too, and so is Genghis Khan if you go back.
Bob's your uncle.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Young people don't really say that, though.
No.
Bob's your uncle.
I watch in British television, a lot of Brits will end their sentence, and I think in the States we'll say something like, you know what I mean? But here they'll say, isn't it?
In it.
In it. Or isn't it?
Isn't it?
Right.
In it.
Or... Oh, that's really nice, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Would that be indicative of this area? Or like, you know, like watching, I'm a fan of the movie To Sir With Love. And it's all like that, you know?
A bit more like...
Yeah.
In it is very London, I'd say.
In it is quite London.
Like Lulu. I'm a big fan, sir.
All right. Yeah, all right. Yeah. I
love it. I love all these... all your accents are
I do too.
And
I've fallen in love with this town. This is my first visit here, so we're going to be back for sure. Going to bring my family.
Great.
Next
and you
time.
Guys are wonderful too.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us. Can't wait to have a Philly cheesesteak with you guys when we come over.
You come over.
Let us know the best place.
Nice.
Probably at your lit office.
We'll hook you up.
That's exactly what you want.
Listen, take a look at their YouTube channel. It is called Being British, and they're a lot of fun, and we're so glad you guys came by here this morning. Thank you.
Thank
you
guys.
Joel and Leah, you guys came. Applause. Yeah. Nice group here. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. We have some more guests on the way live from London, getting near the end of our run here. We'll be back more to the Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're at the W Hotel in Leicester Square, London. And before we finalized our plans to come here and everything we were going to be doing, about a month ago or so, we had our friend Michael Giacchino on the show. And we were talking to him about everything, Michael. He's, you know, he's a genius.
Yes.
He's wonderful. And he had mentioned that he was out with some friends on his way to see a production of this play. And while he was telling us that, our friend Doug Benson, the comedian, was also in the studio. And he looked at me and he goes, oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
And so he had mentioned as well that it's probably still playing in London and you should go see it. So I immediately that day went and ordered my tickets. Casey got tickets as well. And we went to see it yesterday. It is called The Play That Goes Wrong. And we're going to find out more about this. There's a production in Broadway that goes on till January. There's a full U.S. tour, and we'll find out more about that. But we want to bring you the creators of the show, Henry Lewis and Henry Shields, who are here with us this morning.
Hey. Hello.
Gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
Pleasure. I told you off air, I couldn't help it. It, you know, and you've heard it for, how long ago did the show start?
5 years? Six
5 years?
Yeah.
So for 5 years, you had to have had people coming up to you and just saying, it was so funny. I really enjoyed it. And does that get old? Are you tired of hearing it?
I'm sick of it.
It's got to wear you down.
Torture now.
But the fruits of your labor have paid off. But I mean, but that is a point, though, after a while, because you move on to other things. In fact, you are working on other things. But this sort of got you to the dance. They were raving about it, both Casey and Preston. And, you know, it's got to be good, you know, to have people, to know you've affected people in a positive way.
It is, To be honest, you never get tired of people telling you how brilliant you are. It's great.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep going.
We have yet to experience that, but we hope to one day.
Well, I got
to
say, I mean, live slapstick is got to be really, really difficult to pass off and to do. And, I mean, it just takes tons and tons and tons of rehearsal. And I just thoroughly enjoyed every single second of the show last night.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, I think to keep it accidental all the time, to keep it feeling like all the mistakes are fresh happening every day. Yeah, that's the trickiest thing about the show, I think.
Well, so for those who aren't familiar, and I wouldn't want to give things away from the plot, how do you describe the play to people who haven't seen it?
Well, anyone who's seen a piece of amateur theater any time in your life, if you've ever seen a piece of amateur theater, imagine everything that could possibly go wrong in that show going wrong. So nobody knows the lines. All the props are in the wrong place. There are problems with the set breaking in various different ways. Like you say, it's hard to talk about it without giving stuff away.
Yes, right.
But it's just all of an actor's worst nightmares happening all at once in one terrible performance.
So within that, the entire play, these things going wrong, the attention to detail to make sure that all the things go wrong correctly, because so many things go wrong in this, Steve. You can't believe it. It's every 10 seconds, something goes wrong, maybe even less than that. It might be every 5 seconds.
I was reading about just the meticulous nature of of piecing it all together, because to make things fail properly requires even more attention than to making them work the correct way.
Yeah, way more. It's like the whole thing is like a perfectly choreographed dance from beginning to end. It's much closer to that than
so are you able, when things go legitimately incorrectly, when there are mistakes, and almost every performance has one or two, something doesn't go quite right, do you just incorporate it into the story?
Well, with this play, because it's a play that goes wrong, if something goes wrong, actually goes wrong within it, what that usually means is something hasn't gone wrong.
Right.
If that makes sense. So, you expect something to fall down and crush you, and nothing happens.
Well,
So it usually is just a bit of an empty moment where you go, move on. It's just like, nothing happened.
Let me ask you, because I know that you and I found it kind of interesting, a lot of your early inspiration, but perhaps both the Henrys, stand-up comedians like Bill Hicks and other.
Yeah.
So you come from a place of stand-up, and in stand-up, the old adage, if the audience doesn't know you made a mistake, it's not a mistake. So, but it's weird that this ports over to something as scripted as, they're both comedy, but very different types of comedy. So from stand-up, how did you make the transition to do for stage fully scripted a presentation like this?
Well, we've kind of gone on a bit of a journey comedically, all of us as writers. There's actually a third writer as well called Jonathan Sayer, who wanted to be a stand-up when he was younger as well. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do stand-up when I was a kid, and then I ended up going into improv comedy with this group, Mischief Theatre, an improvised comedy group, because I wasn't good enough at writing stand-up. So
it is an art form. And yes. People think, well, if you're funny at one, you can be funny at them all. And that's not always the case.
Exactly. It turned out I wasn't funny in one, but I was funny in the other. So I became quite good at improv. And we started out as an improv company and used that to create pieces of scripted theatre. So we used a lot of improv in rehearsals and in the writing process to make the show as fun as it is.
There's certainly sort of mishaps as well that have happened on stage that have kind of ended up becoming part of the show. There's one part where there's a phone that's stuck down that you can't be moved, or the cable's too short. And that was something that really happened once at a show when we first did the show on tour back in 2014. The cable was really too short, and so we kind of made a human chain of people to create a longer phone cable. That kind of came out of a real-life mistake.
You have to love that. There was a play years ago called Noises Off, and it was a similar sort of conceit. I think they made it into a film, and I remember seeing the film, and it just didn't quite work. This is absolutely a creature of the theater. Do you think that your production could work as a film, or is it? Is it on its way?
I hope it would work as a film. There's no plans to make it into a film, though. We are working on televised versions of the same kind of premise.
I could see that.
That'd be great.
Where it's done live, like they've been doing, you know, in the States. Now these big musicals have been done, and they've been actually fairly successful. Mm-hmm. So you could see something like that, perhaps making the
There's another production called Peter Pan Goes Wrong, which is the sequel to the play Goes Wrong that you guys have seen.
Yes,
It exists. Peter Pan Goes Wrong. It's been performed in the UK, never been performed in the US thus far. Hopefully, it'll go to Broadway eventually. But that has been televised. We did a version of it with the BBC a couple of years ago, which you can probably illegally watch online.
Yeah, no doubt. That's the only way to do it. Yeah.
I have to ask about in the play that goes wrong, there has had to have been multiple injuries that have taken place during the 5-year run of this show.
Yeah.
There has been a few.
Yes.
Well, we've had an actor dislocate his shoulder on stage. That happened right towards the beginning, and then happened actually again. That was a bit disastrous. We've had a broken metatarsal bone.
Wow!
But to be honest, like the stuff that looks more dangerous, I think people tend to approach that with more of a sort of health and safety perspective. So that stuff tends to be safe.
Okay.
The injuries tend to happen based around the smaller moments.
I can imagine being on your mark is very important.
Yes.
For the show, because there are things that fall and fly, and it's. You know,
so
you would think there'd be an injury
with that, and the amount, because I know the actual art of stage performing has with ear monitors and things of that nature, and I don't know how deep the tech is on the show, but I mean, you know, I assume that has to help. But at a certain point, like to Preston's point, you know, when all of that is happening, is there in fact another subversion of what's going on stage happening behind the stage with, you know, in other words, is there a sub show happening that could be caught in another production?
Yeah, well, you can see backstage on The Play That Goes Wrong is an amazing kind of crazy bit of choreography going on with all these people doing things at different times. You know, when we took the show to Broadway, where it is currently, we were told we had to update a lot of the tech on the show because we have tricks and things that are all perfectly timed with actors doing stuff, and we were told you can't do any of that in America. It has to all be done electronically with electromagnets and some guy with a box just pressing a button at all.
That's what I was wondering,
and none of it works.
None of it works.
Really?
Yeah, it's way worse.
What theater on Broadway is it, do you know?
It's in the Lyceum Theater.
Okay.
Currently running there till January next year, I think.
And correct me if I'm wrong, so was it J.J. Abrams contacted you about bringing it to Broadway, and you were kind of, you were both like, because you'd heard it before, but he got it done.
Basically,
That's
right. He was here filming Star Wars Force Awakens, and he wanted to see a show, looked at what was on. He came along to see our show. We met him briefly afterwards. He said, I'd love to help, and we sort of thought he was being very polite and lovely. We didn't actually think anything would come of it. But no, he got in touch with Kevin McCollum, who produces the show with him on Broadway, and that's how it happened.
That's
so
wild.
You guys have been at the Duchess the entire run?
2014
to currently? Okay. Yeah. What parts did you guys play? Were you the inspector?
Yeah, good guess.
Okay, all right.
Tall, thin.
Robert, who plays Thomas Collymore.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Big in yellow, yeah.
There is a scene that Casey and I immediately referenced.
Well, I just want to say that
Preston
had seen the 2 o'clock show yesterday. I saw the 7 o'clock show. We literally passed each other on the street as I was walking to the theater.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you're going to love it. It's hilarious. When I saw him this morning, it was like, oh my God, how about this part? And so go ahead, continue what you're
going
to say.
There's a scene where there's a lot of dialogue going on, and of course you rely on other people's lines to lead you to the next line. And one of the characters gets the line incorrect, which then causes a dialogue loop to go back into the same scene over and over. And it wasn't until like the third time through that I realized what was going on. And I kept laughing throughout the rest of the day just thinking about it.
It was so great.
It was a nightmare for the, you know, for the, these quote unquote actors that were, you know, trying to do this community play. It's just written so brilliantly. Which one of you came up with that particular line? Or that scene?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
At this point, it evolved over time. A lot of it evolved over time.
But yeah, how do you write a play like that then? Is it improv and writing all at the same time?
Basically, well, yeah. Like I say, we're improvisers. We started out as improvisers, really. And so we incorporate improv into all the writing. And you, in the writing room, you tend to do bits in character and throw ideas around that way. But yeah, the loop, it's a great section. I think there was always a question of how many times we could get away with going around.
Yeah.
And sometimes we did more, sometimes we did less. But it's now five, I think.
Okay.
Five, yeah. We've got it wrong once and done six by mistake. But yeah. No, usually just five. Yeah. Genuine accident. The actor who was supposed to get the line right at the end of it got it wrong.
It
took us around again. How do we get further?
That's great.
And then there was another scene, and I don't want to give anything away, but there was another scene that I thought that the inspector had had to improv.
Yeah.
And perhaps there is a little bit of improv in what he does say, but there's a fourth wall break, and so when I was talking to Preston about it, the same thing happened at the same time.
Right.
So,
right.
But I would imagine that the monologue was maybe similar but different.
Possibly. Did some of it change slightly?
That section, yeah. It's a section where the inspector loses a prop, the actor playing it loses a prop, and just starts screaming until the audience tell him where the prop is somewhere on stage.
Okay. And you leave it purposefully open for that?
Yeah. Like I say, as improvisers, we always like to keep a bit of our shows improvised, keeps it alive and makes it fun.
It's great.
Means that the audience will get something
what's
different.
What's funny is the guy directly behind me was the one who helped out.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I hope this guy doesn't think it was me, because he looked directly at me. And I was like, it wasn't me. I was pointing to the guy behind me, but little did I know that that was us. It was supposed to happen.
Yeah. Well, we never use a plant. It's never set up.
Okay.
That section, I used to do that section, and my way of doing it was always that I will keep looking for the prop. I will keep shouting. It's a ledger.
A ledger.
The ledger.
I'll keep shouting a ledger until the audience tells where it is. So sometimes I would go on and on and on for minutes and minutes until someone shouts out.
That was great.
Let me ask you, are you fans of Christopher Guest and the Spinal Tap and Mighty Wind and all those? Do you know if anybody is, because we named a few people, Michael Giacchino's the film, did the Star Wars music, and Doug Benson, but who famous has come to see the show that just blew you away? I know, because you're fans, obviously, seeing students of comedy, who rocked your world by coming down and giving a thumbs up.
Tons of people now. Person who I was the most starstruck by was Harrison Ford.
Oh, really?
Came to see it, yeah.
Wow.
He's not a comedy guy, but he was that was the most nervous I've been with a person in the audience.
Do you know he can be funny though?
If
you
he's very funny.
The Jimmy Kimmel bit with him and getting to a fight with Chewbacca over stealing his wife,
yes,
was great. And then he's also good in Anchorman 2.
Yeah,
Harrison Ford is very funny.
He actually was very funny, and he was very cool because he's a very cool guy. But there's a bit before the show where I go around in character talking to the audience, welcoming them and being quite rude to people. And whenever we have a famous person in, what I like to do is go up to them and pretend that I've recognized them as someone else.
Okay.
And thought they're somebody else.
Yes.
And I went up to Harrison Ford and pretended I thought he was Robert De Niro. I said, oh, Mr. De Niro, thank you so much for coming. And he took it very well. And then afterwards I met him. He came backstage and I said, sorry about the whole Robert De Niro thing. And he, in a very cool way, just went, oh, that's okay. I've been pretending to be Robert De Niro my whole life.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Guy.
Another show that's playing here in London is a comedy about a bank robbery.
Yeah.
How long has that been in production?
That's been running for 3 years.
Open 2016, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So it's in its third year, yeah.
Any plans for that to be in the States? Because I don't have time to go see that while we are here.
We're talking about it. There's a few options possibly, and we hope it might come into the States next year, but we're not sure.
Okay. It's wild to have a basically you could have a franchise of all. I mean, you're in the middle of this genre that you have complete ownership. How long do you want to keep running with this? Because they're parody. You're almost to stage what the Zucker brothers were to film with the you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's that sort of thing. But I can't recall something like this ever occurring where you have a streak of things
of the same genre, and you continue to build on it.
Yeah, well, I should say the comedy about a bank robbery is actually a different genre completely.
Okay.
It's like a fourth wall play, much okay. more. We kind of channeled the Marx Brothers a lot in the comedy.
Okay.
It's a very kind of American screwball sort of style.
Okay.
But there are multiple Goes Wrong shows. The play that goes wrong, Peter Pan goes wrong. We did A Christmas Carol Goes Wrong. We're working on a new one with Penn and Teller, actually, that's going to come out next year.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
that is great. It's so. And as far as film prospects, you were kind of there are things you probably can't talk about.
Yeah.
But are there are things in the works?
I can tell you. What can I say? I can say that we're working with the BBC.
Okay.
On a UK based sitcom.
All right.
That will be hopefully coming out next year. But, you know, I don't know what we're allowed to say and what we're not.
All right. Okay. All right. We'll just look for it on Netflix.
Yeah.
The play that goes wrong not only on Broadway for our listeners in the States, but also there's a U.S. tour.
That's right.
Yeah.
And just keep an eye out for when that pops up in our area, I guess. Or...
It's all around. It's in D.C. over Christmas from the 18th of December, yeah.
Oh, that's easy to get to.
Just like the weather maps, Preston, they're skipping right over Philadelphia.
Are you kidding me?
Well, I told them.
Cradle of our nation.
The cradle of liberty.
Yes.
This is where we declared our independence from.
That country.
Yeah. Beautiful, wonderful country. Yeah. But we do have great theater in our city. So if you do
have a say
in anything,
send it to Philly.
Definitely wedge it into Philadelphia at some point.
I'll mention it to our producers.
We won't hold you responsible if it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for coming by here. There's a lot of great entertainment in London, and this is just a wonderful, wonderful, fun play for you to go see. If you happen to be visiting here, the play that goes wrong is at the Duchess Theater. Get your tickets, go and see it. Thank you, gentlemen. Very nice to meet you.
Thanks for having us.
Let's hear it for Henry Shields and Henry Lewis, ladies
and
gentlemen. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us live from London on 93.3 WMMR.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger begins Monday, November 26th at Xfinity Live. The business challenge is such a big part of Camp Out, and props to Subaru of America for leading the way in challenging other companies to get involved and make a difference. Heritage Business Systems, your authorized Canon copier dealer, is encouraging any size business, large or small, to donate. One business will be selected at random to receive a Canon full-color copy, print, and scan image runner advance. It's a 36-month lease with service from Heritage. The Preston and Steve live broadcast from your place of business is still up for grabs for the largest donation. Go to WMMR.com/campout for a list of especially needed food items and all business challenge details.
Case, I'm going to give these away, right?
Yes.
So we have a screening of the film Instant Family, and it's going to be hosted by Casey Boy and writer-director Sean Anders. This is going to be Thursday night at 7 o'clock at the Landmark Ritz East in Old City, and there's going to be a Q&A with Casey and Sean after the film, and that will include a trip giveaway to the Los Angeles premiere on November 11th, and each of our winners and their one guest are going to enter once on-site for the trip, and you have to stick around for the Q&A in order to do that, and you have to be at least 21 years of age or older to be eligible to win. And not only airfare and hotel in the premiere, but Paramount Pictures studio lot tour tickets, which is pretty cool. So I got 10 of these that I can give away now, 215-263-WMMR. Once again, that is going to be on Thursday. So let's get you on board with that. Before we get into anything else, I think we have another bizarre file coming up. Like I said, we tried to give you a flavor for the city and some different aspects from entertainment to culture. But we've also, booze has been a regular subject as
Yes, we've learned about all the culture of booze in London.
We are going to continue on with a gentleman who is here, and he is the manager of one of Mayfair's oldest pubs. It's called the Punch Bowl, and it's been open since 1729. And we're going to find out more about this, and we'd like to welcome our new friend Pandy, who is here this morning.
Yes.
Pandy, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.
Koryoshi, is that how you say your last name?
Kurushi.
Kurushi.
Yeah.
All right. And how long have you been with the Punch Bowl?
17 years now. Nearly 18.
Okay.
18 years.
And where's it? It's located in Mayfair. How far is that from where we are?
It's not far at all. We just go straight down Piccadilly and it's there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a lovely area.
I've got to stop by there. Werewolves of London, Mayfair is
there. You go. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Just by Berkeley Square.
Okay. All right. And what could now it is a is it your standard English pub? It's what you want out of if you're looking for a place to go if you're
exactly
in London.
Exactly that. It's a lovely old fashioned boozer. No frills, no neon lights, no Nothing like that.
I love that.
Yeah. Lovely food.
Well, you get a real flavor of the area. A lot of times these places will come in and they'll sort of be prefab and they'll... They try to capture a spirit, but this is the real deal.
It's very much a traditional old boozer.
Love it. Love
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And no food, I'm sorry.
Lovely food.
Okay,
yeah,
so
for sure.
Be in and out for a tenner?
I don't know about that.
Okay.
You get a starter, maybe.
I'm just saying that because my cousin's out there laughing. That was a term we had heard on Friday. It's a great place. In and out for a tenner. I was like, that doesn't mean anything to me.
I mean, yeah. 10 bucks and you're good, right?
I don't even know what would if I heard somebody say in and out for a tenner, what does that mean?
You get away with just spending £10.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. And you wouldn't be a fan of that as one of the
that might not happen.
Yeah.
<It's> like,
yeah, we don't want that
now,
to happen.
Involved in the punch bowl is Guy Ritchie, a partner in the punch bowl or
no, he used to own it.
Okay.
But he hasn't done for a few years.
Okay. And you and he are friends then?
Great mates, yeah. Yeah.
And so while he was producing, I guess, you've had a number of celebrities. We were just talking about the guys from the play, the two Henrys, and people that they've encountered. But you've, at the time there, this is sort of a go-to establishment. I'm looking at some of the people who have shown up. You've obviously had Prince Harry and Prince William. You had Robert Downey Jr., Leo DiCaprio. You've had a number of celebrities come through. Have you yourself met them all?
Yeah.
So is it the classic pictures with them on the nothing like that
for a beer like everyone else?
Okay. All right. When a celebrity of that nature comes in, do you try to make sure they're left?
Most certainly.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't like them bugged. Not at all.
All right. So who blew you away when they came in?
It's a pleasure to see them all.
Every one of them. There you go. Yeah. I like that. Yeah, you have to keep your head about you, right?
Yeah.
No, let me ask you this, Pandy. What's your policy? In America, we tip our bartenders. It's standard, and if you don't do it, it's actually frowned upon.
Yeah.
What is that like here?
It's not frowned upon, but it's done. You know, you can tip the barman if they deserve it. Put it that way.
All right. So,
but it's not considered rude if
not
you don't tip.
No, no, no. Oh,
wow. Okay.
Okay.
So, if it's not good service, you still are pretty much expected to tip them something
in the United States.
In the United States.
Yeah. Well, if it's not good service in my boozer, so to speak, it's I don't think you should.
Yeah. Okay. It's interesting because it's so ingrained in us that I just feel. It's like, oh, I can't not, you know, yeah, and we encountered nothing but really good service since I've been here, you know, which is a good sign. But you're saying, because we've always heard that in a way, almost a tip is an insult.
Yeah.
Is that the case?
No. Okay. I like to think everyone gets good service.
All right.
They get rewarded for it. Lovely. Good luck to the kids.
All right. Okay.
Pandy, my girlfriend and I are here together. We bought some wine yesterday, and we were looking for a place to go for a BYO, which is a pretty common occurrence in the States. Do BYOs exist in London because we could not find one last night.
They used to, I can't think of any offhand now.
It's much more common to go in a place with a pub or with a. Do you even need liquor licenses or how does that work?
I don't know if you. You know, I'm not really up on that law.
Okay,
for bring your own. Yeah, I just know what I'm allowed to do. I don't over it. I don't. I've been there 18 years and I can't think of a time where someone did bring their own.
And if the place itself has been open since the 1700s, they probably figured out how to way to sell booze without too much interference from the government.
You seem to have a track record. Yeah. let me ask you something, because you know, on Saturday I was went over to the Shard, and there was a whole. I was passed by a couple of pubs, and there was. It seems a whole bunch of sports fans en masse, and they were active and vocal and so on and so forth. And we know about, you know, soccer fans and so on and so forth. Have you had to have your dealings with rowdy crowds, rowdy people? How do you handle it?
No. Many years ago, we used to have TV showing the sports, and even then, it was kind of civilized, actually.
Okay, really? Wow.
But now it's not really, it doesn't really attract them.
You don't need like a bouncer staff or anything like that? Really? You don't need people to, you know.
Security.
Security.
Well, I have security.
Yeah.
Sure, but that's just to keep the drunks out.
To keep the drunks out.
Yeah. Keep it nice and safe and civilized.
So is there a cutoff rule? Because in the States, if you, the bartender, the legal obligation is the bartender has to recognize someone is inebriated and cut them off, or else they are held liable.
Without question, we won't serve anyone for the Fed.
Okay,
okay.
For our own safety.
What is the drinking age?
The drinking age is 18 legally.
18.
Yeah, but anyone who looks younger than 21, I'll ask for ID.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
There's really archaic, old-fashioned laws in England. If you sit down for a meal with your parents, you could be really young and have a drink.
Okay. I did my license many years ago. I can't tell you the exact age, but it's kind of crazy.
No. So if you're sitting down with your family and you're a 14-year-old and you're with your family, you can imbibe.
If they're eating, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
okay. Right.
Oh man.
Do they make I'm sure they do, but like alcohol that has less alcoholic content
sure,
in it? Just
sure,
for
no, I do alcohol-free beer as well.
Okay. Do you have any alcohol glasses that have things like the Minions or Elmo for their liquor?
Not, I can think of. No branded glasses.
Wow, that's interesting. I never knew that.
Yeah. Give me a Big Bird straight up.
Ma'am, when I was 14, my parents are hard drinkers. I would have been pounding with them when I was 14 years old.
I wonder if statistics, they talk about France or whatever, the occurrence or the occurrence of alcoholism in a country. Mm-hmm. I think if maybe you were your first drinks were under the supervision of your parents, I don't know.
Or not.
You can probably provide data for both. Yeah.
Pandy, what time does the pub close almost now?
11 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah. So that's one thing that we noticed last night. Yeah. The pub shut down pretty early around here. We're usually 1, 2 a.m. In the States. Most bars are open too. But last night we went into a pub. And as soon as we walked in, because I was with people that were wearing a bunch of Eagles, and they're like, "Hello, Eagles," and they said, "Just to let you know, we're closing in 15 minutes." And so we had time to have a pint. And what I thought was great is they had a bell they rung, literally a bell at last call. And I like, do you have a bell or anything?
We used to actually. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. That I mean. Ladies and gentlemen, last freaking call. And that's it. And they started wiping up the table that we were at, actively still drinking, just basically
they get you
shuffling
going.
Us out the door.
So, Pandy, then, when people...
Which I appreciated, actually. They give us to-go cups and everything, which was cool.
When people hook up in your bar, they are sober and actually know what each other looks like, correct? There's no beer goggles taking place.
Yeah, okay. That's that 2 a.m. thing is you don't necessarily know who you're hooking up with.
Exactly. You can get an extension to drink later, but I think 11 o'clock's plenty.
All right, yeah. So on the flip side, I got up really early on Saturday morning and left this hotel around 5 in the morning, and there were still people who had been partying all night. And now we're in Leicester Square, which is, like we've alluded to earlier, it's kind of like Times Square. There's a lot going on in this particular part of town, but people had been out partying all night. Where do they go to do that if some of the pubs close early?
To our hotel. They were open till 3 a.m.
Hotel bus, they can stay open all night, I think.
Can they?
Yeah, and... Yeah, Londoners do like to march on when they've had a beer or two.
Yeah, they were having a beer at 7.
Yeah.
Are there after hours places that are all night? For example, are there raves and all night events that go on in cities?
There might be one or two three little places you can go to.
Does each pub have its own type of customer that is a regular?
Yeah, I think you kind of you do attract a certain clientele. Okay. Yeah, it's
what would be the average punch bowl regular, you know?
Well, nowadays it's more like hedge funders and
really
sure. And families. There's a big residential area. People think it's just offices, but it's all kinds. It's a nice crowd for sure.
There are bars in the States are some that you look at and you go, I'm not going in there.
Yeah.
I know I'm gonna stick out like a sore thumb in there. Yeah. And I may not have a pleasant experience. I can't really get a read on that here. Can you guys? I mean, each pub kind of looks inviting and come on in, you know, just kind of walk on in.
Yeah, trust me, there's one I see.
Are there? Okay.
Oh, for sure.
There's got to be, right?
There certainly is.
Yeah. I guess, does that depend on what part of town you're in?
It could do, yeah. But yeah, I mean, well, if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, but it does depend on the certain areas.
Okay.
For sure.
I definitely walked into a place where I was like, oh, okay, I'm the oldest person here. I'm at the wrong place.
Wow. And that's going to happen more and more
Stop
often.
Stop it. No, yeah. It's not.
In fact, in this hotel, it's happened.
I looked just as good as the rest of them there.
We have a very old woman here who's trying to act very young. It's disgusting.
Pandy, have you been to the States?
Many times, yeah.
And what cities have you visited?
New York, which I love very much. Uh-huh. Washington, D.C., Miami and all the way down the Keys.
Nice.
Oh, I love America.
Do you visit local bars and maybe try to take something from that when you're in the States?
I don't really go on a busman's holiday. If I go to a bar, it's for my own entertainment. I'm not trying to ideas.
You need your downtime.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon?
So you need your downtime as well. You, it's not always about work.
Yeah.
An establishment that old in the location that you're at, I assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, are there stories of hauntings or things of... that nature, paranormal,
kind of is, especially in my old pub. You know, there's
stories of a Regency young lady in a night clothes on the top floor.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen anything?
No, but I've certainly been in the presence. Listen, I'm not. I'm a pragmatist.
Yes, I hear you.
I don't believe in everything.
Right, right.
I've certainly had feelings here and there. It's an old pub. Whether or not it's just creaking under
The history is fascinating. Now the pub itself was featured in a Madonna documentary, was it not? There was a brief.
It's possible, yeah.
Right. Have you been in any other featured in any other films? Or the location is
no, not
a bar.
I think of no.
Okay,
it's been documented. No.
All right.
And the pub has been around since 1729. Are there any artifacts from the very beginning that you
for
have?
Sure, I've got. I don't know if in the States what it is, but we have listed walls and things you aren't allowed to touch. You know, that have been there since the 1700s.
Wow.
You know, the back of the pub used to be a magistrate's court, for example.
Huh.
You know, there's the hatch there where they used to pass the verdicts through. And
wow, and that's intact.
Totally. Well, it's not intact as a courtroom.
Right, but I'm saying the actual structure. That's very cool.
Pandy, this may be a completely ignorant question, but how does a pub survive as long as the Punch Bowl has? I mean, it's been around for so many hundreds of years. How is that possible? Because in the States, the restaurant business is really precarious. You can get into it and then be out of it in a very short amount of time, certainly not since 1729.
Yeah, well, it's a few things. I mean, I'm sure they've been lucky along the way. It's in a nice area where and it's the old neighborhood.
Taco Tuesdays.
I don't know if it might be more luck than judgment, but it's certainly marched on the old pub.
Yeah, yeah.
And long may it do so.
I mean, that's a history of success that's hard to rival at this point.
Mm. Well, I know where I'm going this afternoon.
Are you going to head over?
Yeah, for sure.
Me too, yeah.
Absolutely. We'll be stopped. You working today?
No way.
You know what?
Oh,
today as the day, they're going to have some of the original tub girls working there.
Oh, from 1729.
Yeah, they're getting on a bit.
I guess no free pints for us today. All right, well, listen, if you do happen to be visiting the area, stop by the Punch Bowl, take a look. We'll go see for ourselves. We'll post some pictures online for people to check out as well. Thanks for coming by here, Pandy.
Great pleasure. Thank you
very much.
Great
to talk to you. This is Pandy, everyone.
Yes.
He's the manager of the Punch Bowl, one of Mayfair's oldest pubs. We're going to take a break,
yeah,
right?
We're going to come back with the Bizarre File, so we're not going to do the B File here. We'll come
all
back
right,
with it.
All right, so Jason, we'll skip that. Jason, Fayon running the board back at the studio. We'll take a quick break, come back in a second. The broadcast from London continues on 93.3 WMMR.
You're listening to 93.3 WMMR, live from London, home of Buckingham Palace, the royal family, fish and chips, and Preston and Steve? Who the f*** let them in?
Flash on 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks in London calling. Certainly, it's what we're doing here, gang, broadcasting live, calling in to you across the Atlantic as we continue on our final day of broadcast. And we get one more day. Tomorrow is a travel day, so we'll be sans live Preston and Steve show on MMR, but we'll be back on Wednesday. Live as we will be readjusting to time. We're just getting used to the time here now. You think it's going to be trouble for you guys getting back on the schedule?
I haven't. I've managed to keep things on a par by not sleeping at all.
Okay.
So,
good.
So you're in good shape.
So I'll be able to hit the ground running.
I think we'll be okay, right, back because...
Well,
we can probably go to bed a little bit earlier than normal. And...
Well, so our flight is early. It's 7, or it's...
9.
It's 10 a.m., 9:55. So
right.
So we have to be at the airport by 7, most likely, right? We want to get there 3 hours early. It's a daytime flight. We arrive in Philly time, 2:30 or so. And if I go to bed at like 5 o'clock or whatever...
Then we should be good.
Great. I can get up at 4 a.m., no problem, and go to work the next day. So
you can do that, yeah.
So I think it's going to be... fairly easy.
Or it'll be worse.
Or it'll be horrible.
Yeah, right. Have
whatever
you tried booze on the plane? Because that seems to work for me.
I don't know, man. Not on Tuesday. I'm not going to do that. Right. But I say that now.
Until you sit down.
Tuesday. Well, technically, maybe it'll still be Monday.
I don't know.
Here? There?
But we are we're getting ready for our travels home, so we have just a little bit longer to enjoy it. And it has been very enjoyable. We have some orders of business to take care of. Let us do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
A little late with it, but bringing you nonetheless, and it's brought to you by Heritage Business Systems. The document imaging equipment solution is Heritage Business Systems, service satisfaction, reliability. That's Heritage Business Systems, your authorized Canon copier dealer. Boy, this is pretty wild, man. This happened actually last week, but I didn't get a chance to get to the story. I don't know if you guys caught this or not, but two students at Bartow Middle School, this is in Florida, came to school with knives, and they planned to attack students last week.
Yeah, I saw this.
The school resource officer was alerted to a complaint about armed students around 1:30 in the afternoon. Police said the girls allegedly planned to kill as many as 15 students. The staff found the two girls in a bathroom during class time prior to carrying out their plans. They were arrested and removed from campus. No one was hurt. School staff initially caught wind of the possible plot on Monday, when a student told a teacher that one of the suspects said not to come to a part of the school on that particular day. In response, multiple police officers were on campus. After the first period, the mother of one of the suspects received a notice from the school that her daughter had not shown up for second period. Her mother called that school and said that her daughter had been dropped off that morning. Upon receiving that call, the principal organized school staff and law enforcement to conduct a search of the school. The assistant principal found the girls in a bathroom with a goblet, and the girls were brought to the principal's office, and one was asked to empty her pockets. When she did, they found a paring knife and a sharpener. Staff asked the girl why she had the weapon, and she said that she and the girl were plotting to attack and kill as many students as they could.
What was the goblet for?
It sounds like they may have been wanting to put blood in it or something like that. They didn't say, but that's the assumption I take away from this. Police then searched the girls and found several more knives, including a butcher knife. Both girls told detectives they had been plotting to kill at least 15 people and had been hiding in the bathroom to wait for smaller students they could overpower to be their victims.
Oh my God.
Police said the girls told detectives they are practicing Satanists.
Well, there you go.
During a search, one of the girls' phones, a detective said that they found a message that the girls planned to leave body parts at the entrance and then kill themselves. Two.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, that's a downer.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't happen, but that's just insane. Thank God they nipped that in the bud. All right, how about this one? A little less intense. Some acts of love are more extreme than others. 23-year-old Paulina Landeros from Guadalajara, Mexico, wasn't getting along with her family after they disapproved of her getting several tattoos and body modifications. So out of spite, she removed her belly button and gave it to her boyfriend.
She took her belly button out?
What?
How do you remove your belly button?
I don't know.
A melon baller?
I don't know. So she took her belly button out and she gave it to her boyfriend Daniel as a gift.
I didn't know those were removable.
It was a couple of years ago, and she said in a recent interview she now regrets...
Can you take your rectum out?
...having her belly button removed, and has since made up with her family. So
listen, put your belly button back in, and we'll talk about this.
I don't know what...
Crazy. You know how kids remove body parts now and then?
Yeah, so she is. She regrets removing her belly button.
That's weird.
You could seal it up.
Police were able to track down a suspect who fled on foot after a citizen chased him down on a lawnmower and held him until officers arrived.
Was it a push lawnmower?
I think it was a riding mower. Okay. Officers responded to Wells Fargo.
You don't even need the lawnmower. You could just run it.
Right. He's pushing it down the road. With a report, they had a report of fraud. A bank manager reported a woman attempted to cash $2,800 check in the drive-thru.
Crime of the century.
And was told she could only receive $1,000 cash back. The woman then asked for her check ID, check and ID back, and the teller and manager grew suspicious. The bank manager was able to verify the woman was not who she said she was, and the purse she was in possession of was recently stolen. When an officer arrived, the woman accelerated out of the bank lot and did not stop for the officer. The driver lost control of the vehicle, striking a curb, making it inoperable. The driver, Deborah Gerbase, was arrested, and the passenger ran from the vehicle. So it was a guy who used the lawnmower to track down the passenger, Deandra France, and caught up with him and held him down until authorities arrived. Thank God he had a lawnmower.
The pursuer was on a lawnmower.
Yeah, that's correct.
You know what, though? You got me thinking, though, Steve. With the propelled lawnmower, you could ride it. You just wouldn't be able to steer it, and it would be weird.
You could jump on it.
You could jump on it and hold the thing down.
You could just let it drag you as you held the handle.
You could do that as well.
The back wheels are the ones that pull you along.
You could do that,
but the blade would be sticking up and might hurt people. There's a way to do it if you're smart.
Apparently, certain things don't get less funny as people age. The Marine Corps T-34C crew flew over a remote area of Southern California and used their plane to mark out a gigantic penis pattern with their GPS position.
For what sort of military operation was this?
I don't really
know. Operation Shoot Your Load?
The incident comes a year after the Navy was forced to apologize for a similar incident when a fighter pilot used his contrails to draw a penis.
Sorry what we did there in the canyon.
In the sky over Washington. In this new case, however, experts say it's unlikely anyone on the ground saw the phallic flight path, as the plane wouldn't have left white air trails in the atmospheric conditions that day.
Yeah, Preston, they did pubic hair around the Grand Canyon. They had to apologize for
that. Major Joseph Patterson, a spokesman for the 3rd Marine Aircraft Wing, said, "We opened an investigation that is underway as we speak. Uh-huh. More to follow soon." And we'll wrap up the bizarre file there, because we're going to do the rest of our segments here and get through them. So we're going to do a lesson question today. Ooh. And we have a chance for you to win a pair of tickets to the show that we announced earlier this morning, show number 2 of the Impractical Jokers, the Krangis McBasketball World Comedy Tour, starring the Tenderloins, presented by the Preston and Steve Show. And it is going to be Saturday, January 19th. Second show is at 8 o'clock, so we'll give away these tickets. Nick, do you have a question for today?
I do indeed. The guy singing into a cone outside our hotel actually has a name similar to a late-night talk show host. What is his name?
All right. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know. The guy singing in a cone outside of our hotel, literally trying to make money, singing into a traffic cone.
It's a big industry.
Has a name that is similar to a television show host in the States. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know it. Call right now. Oh, we're going to do
the trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Tekashi 69 celebrating getting just 4 years probation for sex with a minor by throwing a birthday party for his daughter. In a related story, Tekashi just purchased a very special dictionary that does not include the word ironic. Black China dropping over $3 million on a huge estate in the San Fernando Valley. China, who has children with both Tyga and Rob Kardashian, says she plans on naming the home Casa del Child Support. And finally, RR Auctions putting a huge collection of President John F. Kennedy's belongings and related memorabilia. Oh, somebody's at the door. Memorabilia up on the block. Expected to fetch the biggest bid Kennedy's never worn I Heart Dallas t-shirt. There you go. It's exciting. It was a big thrill to do that. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the question. And Nick, could you ask that one more time, please?
The guy singing into a cone outside our hotel actually has a name similar to a late night talk show host. What is that guy's name?
All right, let me try this out. All right, I'm going to go to Dave and see if we can get it. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. Dave, do you know the answer?
Coner?
No, it's not Coner.
All right.
Steve Coner.
It's close.
Let me go to, oh, come on. There, it's got Mike on the line. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Mike. So what's the answer we're looking for, bud?
Cone Man O'Brien.
Yes, Man O'Brien.
There you go.
Hang on just a second, Mike. We'll get to your information. We are going to take care of you. Here, take us to show number 2, True TV. Comedies, Impractical Jokers, the Krangis McBasketball World Comedy Tour, starring the Tenderloins and presented by the Preston and Steve Show. It's a brand new tour, Saturday, January 19th. This second show is at 8 p.m. at the Met Philadelphia on North Broad. You can get tickets by going to by themetphilly.com. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. Let's do music news, please.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, a couple of stories I want to run by you. This one is horrible. And I'm not that familiar. I know the name of the band, Man of War. I've never really listened to them. I don't know much about their music.
Right.
Their guitarist, Carl Logan, has been arrested on child pornography charges in Charlotte, North Carolina. The sheriff's office said that Logan was arrested back in August for possession of child pornography. Logan was booked on August 9th and charged with 6 counts of third-degree exploitation of a minor. His bail was set at $35,000, and he bonded out to await his trial.
How did they discover the child porn?
I don't know. Man of War's management released a statement on Friday saying, with regards to Carl Logan's arrest and the charges against him, due to the fact that Carl and his attorneys are dealing with these issues, he will not perform with Man of War. Really? The new album and upcoming tour will
not... We thought about it, but probably not.
Will not be affected. So that was according to the management. I don't have any other information about that, Steve.
Well, this is going to upset the Man of War fan.
There will be more coming on that. I'm certain of it. Soundgarden guitarist Kim Thayil has opened up about false Chris Cornell murder conspiracy theories that have been floating around on the internet. Thayil told the Detroit Free Press that the theories were, quote, the cockamamie ideas. One theory was that Cornell was murdered because he was about to expose a pedophile ring. Thayil said, the fact of the matter is there was nothing that would suggest this outcome. It's just a bunch of crap.
They're always surrounding any sort of celebrity death, a whole plethora of conspiracy stories. And they're always incredibly stupid.
And there's this whole bizarre pedophile fascination.
Because
these conspiracy theories, yeah, they focused in on that for some reason.
It's because it's easy for everybody to hate those. So it's a rallying point because it's such an abhorrent characteristic of anybody that once you associate anyone with that, it grabs people's attention and you can vilify the person on the other end of it.
But these things are rampant these days. It's crazy. Meanwhile, Thayil also spoke on why Soundgarden wasn't at the hotel where Cornell died. Thayil and his band, MC50, returned to Detroit on Friday for the first time since his last performance with Cornell in 2017. He was found dead an hour later in his hotel room at the MGM Grand Hotel. Thayil said that he and his other Soundgarden members were already en route to Columbus for their next gig when they found out that Chris had died in his hotel room. He added that there hadn't been any signs that something was wrong, saying that nothing would have allowed us to anticipate what would have happened. He said there were a few minor difficulties early in the show that I felt adjusted themselves within a few songs, and then the rest of the show went pretty well.
You know what, though? Think about it. So if you're out on the road or you spend a lot of time out on the road and you're in hotel rooms by yourself, you know, your mind could take a bad turn and result in this, yeah. You know? The idle time is what will do a lot of people in. Yeah. They get too introspective. I don't know. We don't know exactly what happened, but you could see where someone who is prone to depression, that might finally catch up with them.
Yep. To commemorate their historic concert at their hometown venue, Telia Parken in Denmark, Volbeat is set to release a live album and concert film called Let's Boogie.
Let's Boogie.
Live from Telia Parken.
It's great to be here at Telia Parken.
Lead singer Michael Poulsen said in a statement, headlining was a dream come true there, and we're humbled and honored that so many members of the Volbeat family came from far and wide to celebrate with us. We're thrilled to be able to share what was a milestone night for us and everyone.
Hey, even Pappy Volbeat was there.
Let's Boogie has 26 tracks, including live versions of Volbeat's hits, including Still Counting for Evigit. What? The Devil.
Frigit.
Evigit.
Evigit. It's great to be here at the park where the ducks like to go to flying.
The Devil's.
Okay. We beat the people.
The Devil's Bleeding Crown, A Warrior's Call.
Winter's coming and the chill cuts into my bones.
As well as a live performance of their new song, The Everlasting. Mm. That's that.
That was a good story.
Mm-hmm. Joan Jett has reacted to the backlash that she received from Kurt Cobain fans due to her participation in the Nirvana reunion. Jett was the lead singer for Nirvana at the 2018 Cal Jam Festival. For two performances and in New York in 2014 for the band's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction.
She did a great job.
She said, I was honored and humbled to be asked for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame performance. It was so scary, but at the same time, how could you say no as a Nirvana fan? But I got through that okay. And then the other day, the Foods were playing a concert, and I guess they wanted to do a couple of Nirvana songs. Dave asked if I would come out, do a couple of songs, and I said, sure. When asked if she would do more shows with Nirvana, she said, if they do more shows and they want me to be a part of it, I'd be honored to. I feel blessed being asked when I was asked. It's very heavy, though, because Kurt's fans are intense and it's a lot to take on. You just can never be sure if you're doing right, but you can only do the best you can. And if the band asks me, that's as close as I can get maybe to Kurt giving me the thumbs up. So she's, hey, listen, they asked her. She decided to do it. So you can't beat up on her. And then finally, according to Variety, BMG is set to release a new tribute album for Mark Bolan and T-Rex next year. The album will feature tracks recorded by U2, Foo Fighters, Elton John, Joan Jett, Nick Cave, Jane's Addiction, frontman Perry Farrell, Soft Cell singer Mark Allman, Kesha, and Borns. That's a big eclectic group of people.
Sure is.
A documentary is also in the works, and a source told the publication that U2 has recorded T-Rex's biggest hit, 1971's Bang a Gong, Get It On, for the set.
It's a great song, and we were honored to do it.
Yep. So I'm interested to hear their version of that.
I have a couple things to add to your music news real quick, Preston. Earlier today was announced that Kiss has the final tour coming up, and they're going to be performing at Wells Fargo Center Friday, March 29th, 2019, and tickets will go on sale for that show on November 2nd. So this Friday, November 2nd, at 10 a.m. via WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. And ticket giveaways all this week will be happening at night with Jason and or Brent, who is filling in for Jackie Bam Bam.
The last tour, which is kind of, I've never seen them. Have you seen them, Preston? Yes,
I saw them when they put the makeup back on.
Okay,
and headed out, and it was great.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you wanted.
What you want?
As theatrical as you could get. Explosions, confetti, Gene flying into the air, breathing fire.
Look at
so
me, I can fly.
It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
So it's what you want, and they put on a show unlike anybody else does.
Yep. My guess is that after the tour, they'll maybe do one else here and there, but that'll be it.
Yep.
Yeah, I've never seen them, and I think maybe
I recommend it.
This is it's one of those ones where I'm like, okay, should go just to be able to say I've experienced it.
Yep.
Lastly, Preston, there is a free Music Monday. It's the final thing in your list over there.
Thank you, Casey. Yeah. I missed that. We have a digital download of Living the Dream, the new album from Slash and featuring Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators, which is out now for Atlantic Records. Let's take caller number 20 at 215-263-WMMR, and we will set you up with that. That is it in music news. We have one more break to take, and then we come back and wrap things up live from London. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment. Then we'll hand the keys over to Pierre and make our way out of here. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Weekly Rush, a video highlights compilation gleaned from an entire week's worth of laughs. Available now in the Get Local section of Xfinity On Demand.
Struts on MMR, Body Talks, another great British band. We love those guys. We've been playing nothing but British bands during these 2 days of broadcast. So it's been nice. 10:37, Preston and Steve Show. On this Monday morning, getting ready to wrap things up. Beautiful day in the city of Philadelphia, from what I understand, or at least what I've read on the page here before me. Partly cloudy skies, high today about 57. Sunshine tomorrow, 59. And then by, I hope this is right, by Wednesday, sunny and 68 degrees.
Well, Wednesday is Halloween.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yep.
That's absolutely perfect Halloween weather. So we've been dealing with cooler temperatures, but nice. It's been sunny but cool and very, very enjoyable here in London. And I'm exhausted, man. It's been there's so much to do here. And Steve, how many miles do you think you've walked since you've been out here?
Oh, 15?
Yeah.
Yeah, because on Saturday alone, I did about eight or nine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, walking around London was awesome.
It's a great walking city. Yeah. There's plenty of places to see that you can either just find right around the corner, or if you want to take a little bit of a trek, there's something a few miles away too.
Yeah. But wherever you go there, you know, the amount of street activity, especially over the weekend, which is where we spent the most time here.
Yep.
Wherever you turn the corner, there's someone performing. There's someone talking to a road cone. It's amazing.
That guy was awesome.
Oh, man.
I'm so glad everybody got to see
you. I thought we were the only one, because literally outside of my window, I mean, that's where he was sitting. And I just watch him. And I remember at first going, is that noise coming from that guy with the cone?
I thought it was a drunk guy at first pretending to be a street performer.
Nope.
And that was the only instrument he could find. Yeah. And then I walked past him again and I was like, oh, no. He's making a concerted effort to actually sing through this thing.
If he's performing tonight, I'll try to get some video.
Yeah, please. Yeah. Oh,
and book him if he comes to the stage.
Yes, definitely, man. A lot of people to thank before we wrap up. So let me go ahead and do that now. Thank you to Paul Anthony from Planet Rock London.
Yes.
Longtime DJ. He's been doing it for 34 years or
he
so.
He looks like a rock DJ,
definitely,
too. We are severely underselling our rock DJ status.
But he was a really nice guy, and he had some great stories. And sitting down with him, we paneled him with our friends Joe and Dom from the band Nothing But Thieves. And they're London-based, and so they came in and popped on the air with us. They're a lot of fun. They're a really good band. They're wonderful live performances, too, so that was cool. Thank you to Joel and Leah.
Yes.
YouTubers again. of the show Being British, and they were fantastic. She is adorable.
She is. If you watch the videos, you're going to fall. They're a cute couple. What they're presenting, they present in such a nice, affable way, you can't help but be suckered in.
Yep. So really nice to have them by. Also, thank you to the gentlemen that are the writers and original cast members of The Play That Goes Wrong. Both Casey and I saw it while we were here. Henry Shields and Henry Lewis came by. It's laugh out loud funny. I mean, the entire time.
Yeah, and it is playing on Broadway. So for those of you in Philadelphia listening right now, you can go see it and do it. It's fun. It's actually family fun because I was thinking afterwards, I'm like, you know what? I could take my family up there to see it.
Nothing in it was same thing, Casey. Yeah. Nothing as far as language or situations that would be considered. Kids can go see it, and there were kids in the audience, but adults as well. It's really, really funny. And there is a U.S. tour of that going on, so you can see that down in D.C. Also, thank you to Pandy Qureshi, who was here, longtime manager of the Punch Bowl, one of London Mayfair's oldest pubs since 1762, I think it was.
32,
or maybe 32.
I think it was actually the year 32 is when the bar first opened up. So,
he came by and gave us some insight into pub life here in London. So we'll have to stop by there and get a bite to eat and grab a pint and see what that's all about.
Guess out of here.
I also want to thank our crew. We got to thank Ben and our roadie named Bart.
Yeah.
And Lawrence, who are all helping us out. What?
And it's also, Ben, is today your wife's birthday? What is her name? Daniela. And she is how old?
Oh, wow. He doesn't know?
No, he doesn't want to say it live on the air. He doesn't want to. Yeah, she's older than him.
She's way older.
These guys are great. They're our local crew.
They're awesome.
Got us all the equipment that we needed, took care of everything, and Rodney's been overseeing everything. So Rodney Bird, obviously, an amazing man.
Yeah, so Bot is going to be in the States in February. He's doing Mardi Gras.
Oh!
And then Ben is currently planning his 50th birthday party, which is in a few years, but he's going to ride a Harley across the States.
Oh, that's awesome.
Is that right?
Yeah.
We're very cool.
Yep. Well,
they can come by and visit anytime.
Yep.
I know I'm forgetting stuff. I'll try to remember it if I can.
Jason.
Jason Fayon, yes, obviously, running the board. Thank you to Quimby from Green Legion for making the whole thing happen.
Thank you to Marilyn from the Green Legion as well. She was Quimby's like right-hand person, and she was just coordinating all of the moving parts for what we did this weekend.
Okay. And the W Hotel, we've been saying they've been great.
And Miller Lite, too.
Very commenting, and Miller Lite, our sponsor. So a lot of people to thank for this trip and broadcast. I should be able to check in with Pierre Robert. Pierre, can you hear me, sir?
I can, and I do.
Nice to hear from you, my man.
Nice to hear from you. You guys sounded great this both Friday and today. It was a lot of fun to listen to you.
It's hard to meter from where we are, but we're only hoping it sounded good. And when you say that, that makes us feel good.
No, definitely. Just to hear a British accent on the air, even your crew to hear them yelling. No, it's 70. Whatever they're yelling in the background, it's perfect. Cool. Couldn't you just listen to anyone talk in that accent all day long?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Hey, well, we need to do the letter of the day if you are prepared,
sir. I am.
Let's fire it up.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by the letter.
G as in Great Britain.
There it is. We have you the opportunity to live large like Marissa with a hotel stay at the Westin Hotel in the city. Dinner at Opa and two tickets to see Storm Large's Crazy Kind of Love concert with the Philly Pops at the Kimmel Center on Friday, November 9th. Storm's Crazy Kind of Love is a set that features classic rock hits as well as tunes like I've Got You Under My Skin, Somebody to Love, and Forever Young. Tickets are on sale now at phillypops.org, so we will give that away on Friday. What do you have in store on your program today, Pierre?
Well, the first thing I wanted to mention is we just got some stats back from our birthday bucks.
Yeah.
And of all the Beasley stations, those who won over the, because it was a company-wide contest for the last 6 weeks, giving away $1,000 five times a day. I don't mean to say this to boast, but yes, I do. Of all the potential winners, 42 of them came from WMMR
Wow.
in Philadelphia. And
that's a lot.
Another 15 from our sister station here. And but you have to realize that the next one down is 15 winners for a station in Tampa, then 11 winners for a station in Boston, 8 for another one in Florida, 7 in Vegas, 5 in Detroit, 4 in Wilmington, 3 in Vegas and Boston and other places. So of all those stations, when we say you have a good chance of winning, if you listen to Philly and particularly to MMR, you do. 42. The next one down is 15.
I'm loving the chuckle in your in your voice.
I am getting a kick out of it.
It shows how proactive our listeners are and using that app.
Indeed so. So yes. That's pretty cool. So over a quarter of the total came right here to MMR, which is pretty sweet.
That's excellent.
On the program, we will have tickets for Mark Knopfler coming to the Met next August.
Next August.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Do you have your Labor Day plans yet?
I'm all set for Labor Day plans. I think Mark, from what they say, Pierre, is getting into town this Wednesday, next Wednesday for the show. So.
Exactly. You got to prepare.
Yeah.
Wow. August 17th, the tickets, of course, go on sale Friday. There's no sense rushing things. And we'll also have tickets for Slash. Oh, not tickets, but I have the CD or the digital download of Slash with Miles Kennedy to give away for Free Music Monday. Workforce Blocks of David Bowie and Muse and AC/DC. So it'll be a fun Monday with us right here at MMR.
Excellent. Thank you, Pierre. I'm going to take this moment to thank our sponsors from today's program. It's been brought to you today by Winter Airport Parking. We're going to see those guys tomorrow. We all parked with those guys.
And they cleaned my car, too, Preston.
Yeah, I got a detailed job.
Yes.
The 2070 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Also brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. And by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Off tomorrow. It's travel day for us. We're leaving early in the morning. We will be back on the air on Wednesday, though. And the rest of the week, we'll be readjusting. What's that, Pierre?
Should we do a letter tomorrow? Just curious.
Yes.
We should.
You should
definitely do
a letter tomorrow,
right,
if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind
popping
at
in
all.
With whoever's running the board tomorrow.
I just wanted to verify that.
All right, cool, man. That is it. We are done. Ray John, dear friend, we will see you. We've had such a time here in London, but headed back to the motherland in short time. So, Ray John, have a great day. We'll see you later, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
I'm driving a vehicle on a major highway, and I have to take a dump. But there is nowhere close, so I may be going in my pod.
Next message.
I love it. It's a chipmunk kind of year. Chippy, chippy, chippies everywhere. And Kathy, don't be hating on the possums. They love you.
Next message.
All I want to say is, woo-hoo! Isn't karma a bitch? Yeah, you got what you deserved, you scumbag.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.